Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Sunday, December 22nd, 2013. This is episode 1042. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Tech Guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers and the internet, smartphones, home theater, and all that jazz. Leo Laporte and the phone ranger, Heather Hammond, who has a roaring fire behind her and a Santa sweater, a Christmas sweater. You know, I forgot we were going to have Christmas sweaters today. I don't even have one. You know, like the ugly sweater with the reindeer and the green and the red. And I don't have yours, though, is not an ugly Christmas sweater. That is just a cute little belted Santa outfit.
It's kind of a
it's a lady Santa Christmas outfit. Yeah. Yeah, it's cute.
I love the bottom with the white.
I apologize. I'm just, somebody has festivized my microphone. There's a giant candy cane hanging from it, and I've got tinsel. So. We are somewhat festive here. You know, in the past, we used to have a giant wreath behind me, but I don't know what happened to that. Now we have a little tiny, I guess John.
It's very tasteful that way.
Yeah, it's good. Heather, you did that too?
Yeah. It's Heather. Festivus.
For the rest, we do have our aluminum pole, and the airing of grievances will occur later on the show. Feats of strength can't promise. Hey, happy holidays to you. A couple of days before Christmas. If you have some buying, questions, we can help you with that. It's probably, you're coming right up against it, aren't you? It's kind of the end of the line here, last few days. So 8888 Ask Leo, that's the number, 888-826-8275536. That's it, 888-888 is a toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada, 888-537-88. Oh, just 8888, Ask Leo. I can never remember those numbers. Isn't that something that's changed in our lives? You used to remember your home number, your friends' numbers. You'd know what number to dial if you were going to call your friend. Now, do you remember the numbers that you call day in, day out? Because most of the time, they're just in the phone. You press a button. They're in the directory. We don't need numbers anymore. It's a lot easier, frankly. I prefer that. Let's see. What else? We could talk about home theater, certainly. A lot of people be buying big screen TVs for the big games in football and other sports. We've got the World Cup and the Winter Olympics coming up in 2014. Those will be fun. 888-867-5309. No, wait a minute. That's somebody. That's Jenny's number. If you go to techguylabs.com. The number is emblazoned on the front there. And that is, by the way, another good place to go if you want to get in our chat room, if you want to see the answers to previous questions and all of that. TechGuyLabs.com is our website that brings you not only notes from previous shows, but our question of the week, our tip of the week, our product of the week, tech news, and more. And if you visit it on a regular basis, you'll keep up on what's going on with the show. Chris Marquardt coming up at 12, pardon me, second, half past the second hour. I haven't had my coffee yet. Half past the second hour. It's 12 my time, 12:33 and a third my time, but half past the second hour for the rest of you to bust a photographic myth on the dangers of Christmas travel for your camera. It ain't true. I do remember, though, when I was planning to shoot photos in the Antarctic, that I really had to consider which camera to bring in the very sub-zero temperatures. Not all cameras do well there. So Chris will help us with that, help us direct us in the right direction. We also could talk about smartphones. I know a lot of you are buying smartphones for yourselves and loved ones this holiday season. I just got a Galaxy Note 3 because I wanted to try one of the biggest screens. It's a 5.7-inch screen, one of the biggest screens out there. A phablet, if you will. And, well, it's big. I'll give you that. Do I look silly if you hold that up to that? Yeah, I guess people are getting used to that, aren't they? The idea. Let's see. What else? Poor BlackBerry. I would not buy a BlackBerry phone as a gift this holiday season. BlackBerry announced its quarterly earnings, and it was very bad. Very bad. In fact, you know, the Canadian government will not let BlackBerry sell its phone division, which is pretty much the whole thing, to anybody outside Canada, but particularly to China. I guess they could sell it to somebody outside Canada. But the problem is the only people who really want this phone business is China. So they've made a deal with Foxconn. It's kind of a little sneaky deal to manufacture the BlackBerry phones and to sell them in China, to keep the stock in China. I guess, you know, maybe send a buck back to BlackBerry. It's tough. BlackBerry's CEO, their new interim CEO, John Chen, maybe he's not interim, but brought in at the last minute, John Chen, sent a letter out on Friday to the troops saying, relax, enjoy the holiday season. Even though we lost billions in the last quarter, relax. It's going to be okay. I wouldn't buy a BlackBerry. It's sad, you know? What a great phone. I got the early BlackBerry pager, loved them. Was a fan for years. My last phone, just before the iPhone came out in 2007, was a BlackBerry. Another legend of the technology industry was going to go out of business on the 20th. I don't know what happened. Winamp on Friday was supposed to go away. AOL bought Winamp many moons ago. It was a little upstart MP3 player that everybody used. The last minute they were talking about selling off Winamp to somebody else. I don't know if that went through or not. I hope they did. I'd be ashamed to lose Winamp forever. Spotify, in honor of Winamp, released a player called Spotty Amp. Spotty Amp, I don't know. It's very similar. It looks just like Winamp. I guess they figured, well, maybe we could snap up some Winamp users. I'm waiting to see, though. Waiting to see what happens with Winamp. It'd be nice to keep that along. It's a legend. San Francisco has a holiday gift for people who are downtown. Market Street has free Wi-Fi. So now all the bums can sign on. Let me get this right, because I haven't been in San Francisco in a few days. But as far as I remember, Market Street was not the heart of the city. I guess if you get down to the waterfront, it is. The ferry building and, you know.
They're trying to make it be. It's kind of like the whole Times Square situation.
They were going to do this in 2007 with Earthlink. Then Earthlink said, yeah, no.
No, thank you.
So free outdoor Wi-Fi all along Market Street. Interesting move. It seems like Union Square might be a better spot for that, where, you know, people actually are. Or the Castro's on Market. That's good.
That's where Twitter is, though. I think
they're on Market Street,
sort of laying out the rug.
They're in South Park,
et cetera.
They're in South Park.
Thought they moved closer, but
when you sign on, you'll get a welcome saying, enjoy this free service, Mayor Edwin Lee. The politicians always got to get credit, don't they? I built this. I, Edwin Lee, built the internet. not exactly. I think they did a deal with it was not with Google or Earthlink. That was the original deal. They're getting the Wi-Fi from Ruckus Wireless. Ruckus, I never heard of Ruckus. They donated 150 outdoor access points along with network controllers, installed them, and linked them to their fiber backbone. I wonder, would you do me a favor, Heather, next time you're in the city, go down there and try it. It's ID is _San Francisco _free_Wi-Fi.
That's not clear.
That sounds
at
suspicious.
All.
Always beware of, quote, free Wi-Fi. From Ruckus Wireless, huh? 8888, ask Leo. Let's talk. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Mark, it's funny because all the stories said, you know, like this one, San Francisco gives its main street free Wi-Fi. I guess Market is the main street in the sense that it goes all the way through the city, but it's not exactly what I would call. It used to be in the 20s and 30s, it was like the place. It was the main street, but now it's kind of the dividing line between the nice and the awful. Be like, I guess, Sunset Boulevard or Ruckus. Noah. I do have an idea who's on Twit today. Thank you very much. No, Carol Doda performed in North Beach, nowhere near Market Street, on Columbus and Broadway. If they lit up Broadway with Wi-Fi, that'd be cool. Oh, we're getting the Festivus Bowl in. We're getting our Festivus Bowl installed.
Hooray. Are you going to dance around that thing?
What do you do with a Festivus pole?
You don't adorn it, that's for sure.
Not quite sure how it's different from the type of pole you would see along Broadway in San Francisco.
Clonk. No. We have a very sturdy Festivus pole. John is a master of the Festivus mounting. Lovely, John. Now our decorations are complete.
That just looks weird, like I'm expecting a fireman to come down it into the shot.
Now there would be a Christmas gift. Ho, ho, ho.
Woot, woo.
Let's see. I did some Christmas shopping after the show yesterday. I have gifts for Abby. Yes, check. She wanted an iPhone, so she's getting an she wanted the color one, though, interestingly, not the S. So, and she wanted yellow. Hey. So, and I've got a bunch of, Lisa helped me buy a bunch of makeup, and she said, I want makeup and nail polish and hair products. I said, I don't know what to get her. So Lisa helped. Lisa got a bunch of that. And then Henry, I got, I don't know if he's going to like this. A slot car, it's the virtual slot car thing. So you put a mat down, and the slot cars have artificial intelligence, and you steer them with your iPhone. You have to shut up, you.
I'm not sure what you mean by car divergency, virtual slot cursing. So you put on mat down and mix liquors of artificial intelligence, use gear then with your iPhone.
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm not sure what you mean by car divergency virtual slut cursing, so you put on Matt Down and Nick's liquors of artificial intelligence used year than with your iPhone. That's what the note thought I said. I wasn't trying to dictate to you. The heck? I didn't even say anything. Go away. I got to turn the sound off on this thing. This is where the Moto X really was a lot better. Yeah, I would keep Winamp for sure if you've got it. Yeah, S-Voice is terrible. Henry is 18. Abby's 21. What else did I get, Henry? I might need to get some more stuff for him.
You know the store I love for a kid like him? Ooh. Is that Sonoma Surf Shop, West Coast Surf Shop?
Oh, yeah. I should get him some. Yeah, he likes snowboarding and surfing. So. Happy holidays. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Where'd my Festivus pole go? I had a Festivus pole and it's moved already. It was
over
a brief
your left shoulder.
Oh, it's moved a little to my left. Isn't that funny? That was created for Seinfeld. It was George Costanza's anti-Christmas holiday, I think.
Did his dad start it? Jerry Stiller?
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry Stiller used to talk about it, and it involved a aluminum Festivus pole, the airing of grievances, and the feats of strength. The funny thing is, I think that it was one of the writers, like father's thing. It was not completely made up. I bet if I search Wikipedia for Festivus,
wiki.
It'll tell you. It's a well-celebrated parody. It became a secular holiday, celebrated, by the way, tomorrow, as an alternative to participating in the commercialization of Christmas. It was originally a family tradition of a scriptwriter for Seinfeld, Dan O'Keefe.
Oh, they really celebrated
it? It was a real tradition.
Real life.
And he wrote it into an episode of the show, which is now, ready for this, 1997. Yeah, wow, 16 years ago. Holiday includes a Festivus dinner, an unadorned aluminum Festivus pole, the airing of grievances, the feats of strength, and the labeling of easily explainable events as Festivus miracles. This cup of coffee is a Festivus miracle. Thank you, John, for making a Festivus miracle come true.
Oh, God. I love that phrase, easily explainable.
You know, I think the simple success of Festivus is its slogan, Festivus for the rest of us.
Yes.
That, you know, if you make a little rhyme, a little poem, people will remember it.
Rolls off the tongue.
Just rolls off the tongue. So we have apparently a Festivus celebrator amongst the staff because the poll shows up every year. I have yet to see the airing of grievances or the feats of strength. We're waiting for those. 8888 Ask Leo. Heather Hammond, you have been gathering phone calls.
Just like chestnuts.
Like a little squirrel gathering chestnuts. Which call should I? They're like little gifts to me. Which gift should I unwrap first?
Each one you get to open.
Each one is
a
special, special gift.
I believe John is in the midst of shopping, so we've got to help him out. He's in Newport Beach.
Oh, we should help him before too late, yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, John. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thanks, Heather.
Hi, Leo. So Santa Claus is bringing my 12-year-old son a laptop, a Windows laptop.
Wow. Those elves have gotten so sophisticated in their ability to fabricate toys.
It's amazing what they can do. And so he has an iPhone as well, and my concern is that he's going to come home and play video games on his laptop instead of doing his seventh grade homework.
Of course he is. But let me ask you, was he ever playing games on his iPhone?
Oh, yeah. So he does that, too. And so I really need – and he does it on the iMac, and I really need some help on how I can restrict his ability to do that. And I've just failed miserably with the iMac.
I'll be honest. My attitude: I let my kid play games. On the one hand, this is their life, right? This is the life they're growing up in. I see a lot of parents say, "No, it's social media and no to gaming and not a lot of stuff." And it is kind of their peer group is doing it, and in many cases, gaming for kids today is a social event. You know, they'll talk to each other during the game and so forth. The key is, of course, moderation. And my kid, I was lucky because he liked games, but he didn't like them enough to play them all the time. And this was kind of my hope, that he'd play it and then kind of get bored with it. If I had forbade it, it might have made it the opposite, right? He might have said, well, I don't know what this forbidden fruit of gaming is, but man, I can't wait to get into college and game my little heart out. So I have, you know, you can probably keep him from installing games, but not 100% effectively because there's web-based games. You can't block the web. You know, the best thing to do, in my opinion, is, and you did this probably with the iMac, is keep that desktop in a public place.
Yeah.
Because then you could see what he's doing. I don't think you can effectively filter gaming off of that system. What you'd have to do, and you could do it, I guess, is lock the system down, make sure he doesn't have full administrator access to it. Give him a limited account. Only you have administrator access. That'll keep him from installing new stuff. But again, it won't keep him from surfing to websites where there's gaming.
Yeah. There's no way to like restrict the time or you know.
You could totally say you can't get online more than say an hour a day, or you can't get online after these hours and stuff.
And is there a way to technically do that on a computer, or is that just something that I have to have a rule?
What I think, what I used, and I recommend it, is something called OpenDNS. It's at opendns.com. They have free and paid services. And what you're going to do is modify your router, not his system. This is better. If it's on his system, there's always a chance he'll figure that out and get smart and undo it. That's why I don't recommend programs like NetNanny and so forth that you install on a computer. A, it junks up the computer, but B, the kid can get on it and mess with it. OpenDNS is in your router. You keep the router password to yourself. Then the kid will be, and then also lock down network settings on any computer that you install. And you can say by what they call MAC address, by a specific identifier for that computer, this computer can only do these things. And you can block gaming sites. You can certainly block adult sites and poker sites. You can set hours of access. You can say, hey, after 10 p.m., no internet. A lot of the gaming that they do requires internet. It depends on your kid, what games he plays.
Yeah.
But nowadays, they like to play Team Fortress. They like to play games against other kids online. Blocking the internet might be sufficient.
Yeah. How about on the iPhone? Is there any way to restrict access during times? Or, you know, there's no way to do it in settings that I've found.
No. And see, this is, you can block Wi-Fi access, but because it's a phone, he also has 3G and 4G access. You can't block that. So now this, and you know, it's funny. I'm on the board of our local high school here, and I have this debate with them. They block Facebook and YouTube on the computers, but you can't help but notice that the kids have smartphones too, and they can do all that stuff on their smartphone.
Yeah.
So I guess you could take the phone away at night. What it ends up, it's risky because you end up setting up a police state in your house. And I think it's better, especially as children get older, to give them responsibilities and let them agree to it, and then, you know, maybe have consequences. But let them police themselves. Or the problem with a laptop, of course, you can always bring it somewhere where you can't see what he's doing.
Yeah.
And there's a very legitimate need for the laptop for homework and the internet. So I think ultimately, you know, there are contracts that you can get online for internet use. Ultimately, the best thing, and believe me, I'm a parent, so I went through the whole teenage years. I will never judge anybody for doing whatever it is they need to do to be a good parent. And every situation is unique. But if you can, make this a condition of the computer. Say, you know, let's have an explicit deal about how you use the computer, what you use it for, how much time you spend online, how much time you spend gaming. I don't want you to use this computer and distract yourself from your main job, which is schoolwork.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know of a technological solution that's perfect, unfortunately. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And don't let him play Clash of Clans because it's just so addictive. Wait a minute, I gotta see how I'm doing there. When you hear this sound, you know the trouble has ensued. There's even a New York Times article now about the champion Clash of Clanner. Who is this kid who is like, you know, oh my gosh, he's like the king. We have a clan twit, which is almost full, by the way. I have yet to really go with my clan. You know, I want to build. I haven't started attacking. I want to build. So you see, I'm the wrong guy to ask. Is gaming a bad thing? No, heavens no. I'm just of the opinion that people have to learn. Kids have to learn. This is my argument with the high school. And of course, even though I'm on the board, administration gets to decide this. I think one of the most important jobs the high school can teach, one of the most important lessons the high school teach, most important jobs it can do, is to teach kids how to handle the distractions of modern life, not to protect them from it by blocking, speaking of blocking, but to teach them how to do it responsibly. Because eventually you're gonna lose your control of that kid. He's gonna be in college or he's gonna be out in the real world, and then if he's not been taught how to handle this stuff, he's gonna go crazy. It's just part of the. It's part of life, and there's really no good technological solution, I guess, is the bottom line.
Do we all need to learn meditation more than ever now?
I don't know.
You need that quiet moment to balance.
I was lucky because neither Henry nor Abby was really sucked into technology, so it wasn't a problem. And partly I think that's because I let them play and do whatever they wanted, you know. But I think that they were ambitious enough that wasn't a problem. But I do know kids who will unguarded spend 12 hours a day gaming. And I don't know what the answer is there. You know, I guess then you have to have some limits of some sort. It very is addictive. Very addictive. We are not regulated by the FCC, by the way. I can show you this button and... The radio, only the radio portion of this show is.
What does it say?
It says a bad word.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Yeah. I think parental, I don't know. I mean, I think that I understand there are cases, many cases, where you need parental controls because the kid just can't control themselves.
You find all the hair products that you needed or wanted? Because I have a recommendation on that, too.
Yes, let me make a note. What is the hair product you recommend?
Anything by Bumble and Bumble.
Oh, yeah. I love Bumble and Bumble.
Oh, it smells
They
so
make
good.
Bedhead, which is a fine...
Tiki
makes Bedhead? All right.
Yeah.
I do like Bumble and Bumble.
Bumble is at the salon down the street near Acre Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and they have those the hair chalks, if she likes that
Oh,
stuff.
She would like hair chalk. I had some hair chalk earlier. I did that. Yeah. Yeah. She's getting an iPhone. I'm trying to think what I'm getting for Henry. I think I'm getting some other stuff, but I don't remember. I might need to get some other things for Henry. I gave him a keyboard, which he didn't open before he left for Thanksgiving, so I could re-gift that.
And did you figure Lisa out?
Oh, yeah. Lisa's easy.
Oh, okay.
Expensive, but easy.
right. One big thing and you're good. Huh. I'm so excited because I'm like, I got the coolest stuff for my parents.
I am giving him a college education. That's a good start.
That's a very good
And I
gift.
Gave him the first and last and deposit for the house that he and eight other students are going to rent next fall. Holy cow. Nine boys in a house on College Hill. I don't have a good answer on the parental control thing. I really don't. I don't think there technologically is a good way to do it. Anything can be bypassed. In fact, I used to know a guy. He ran a site called Peacefire, peacefire.org. Bennett was his name, I think. And, they're still around. So Peacefire is all about how to disable your blocking software. Now, every teenager in the world knows about this site, and if they don't, their friends are telling them. And, you know, the motto of Peacefire is open access for the net generation. You'll understand when you're younger. Other teenagers are, if you have a computer with an uncensored internet connection, hey, good news, you can set up your own circumventer site so that other teenagers can get around blocking software. Oh, isn't that nice? They're helping each other out. They're helping each other out. Isn't that sweet? And I have debated this with Bennett, but I can't completely... disagree with it. Bennett Hazelton, that's his name. He's a grown-up now, by the way. He was a teenager when he started this site. Must have been 15 years ago. I only raise this to say that teenagers have access to means to circumvent most software. I do recommend OpenDNS because that is on the router, and it is possible to set that up in a way that it's difficult, not impossible, difficult to circumvent. For instance, if they have a smartphone, they can always use the smartphone, tether the smartphone and access that instead, or use it as a hotspot and access that instead. You end up, patching leaks all the time. I feel like it would be so much better to have an agreement with the kids, to talk to the kids, to try to do it that way, and then failing that if you can't. And I do know kids who are so addicted to the screens, they can't stop. 12, 15, 18 hours a day, they won't sleep. That's an addiction. They will literally not sleep. They'll stay up gaming. And then you as a parent, you do have to intervene. It's just tough. It's just tough to do. But I do think it's important for us adults to recognize that they're growing up in a different world. Some of our expectations about, teenagers are supposed to spend time on the phone, not on instant messenger. What is this Facebook stuff? Shouldn't you be calling your friends? No, that's how we did it. I'm sure there are ways, and you can, open DNS is a good starting point. Jonathan, Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi. Hi, Leo. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hi. I have a question. I want to upgrade my AV receiver to an Onkyo NR818.
Yes.
I want to ask your opinion about that one.
I have an Onkyo and I love it. I have two AV receivers that I use at home. One's a Denon, which I really like, and one's an Onkyo. Both I think are excellent. Quality sound is similar. It's not about anymore. It used to be about, what's the best sounding AV receiver? Now it's about functionality. And the Onkyo can do a lot of really cool stuff. For instance, that one, the 818, has a MHL port in front. That's an HDMI port with power that you can do things like plug a Roku stick into it. And suddenly it's a little Roku. The receiver becomes a Roku box. I don't use, and I wouldn't count on using, the network capabilities of these receivers. Planning to use it for Pandora and stuff. I find that, the receivers are underpowered. The firmware is not very well written. There are better ways to do that.
So if I bought it and then upgrade the firmware, you wouldn't recommend upgrading the firmware?
Oh, I always upgrade the firmware. But you mean with third-party firmware?
No, just Onkyo firmware.
Yeah, always. I mean, you can't help it. In fact, when I got my Onkyo, I think I have a 616 about 2 years ago, and for the first 6 months, every month there was a new firmware upgrade. It's very annoying. I think the 818 is a very nice AV receiver. Onkyo makes good stuff. And folks, understand why you want an AV receiver. If you're already running out of HDMI ports on your TV, you've got your...
That's right. Yeah, because I have like...
you got your Blu-ray, you got your video, you got your satellite box, you got your video games, Apple TV, you got your Roku. You run out very quickly, and you don't want... And I tried this for a while, a HDMI switcher, and you can buy them, but that's really a pain. So with an AV receiver, also, you can then drive, 5.1 or 8.1 surround sound. It's a lot more flexible.
Should I even wait to upgrade for HDMI 2.0 and 4K?
No. That's years off, and you'll be buying probably something new. As long as it has, and this does, the latest HDMI, which is 1.6, you're fine.
What about your opinion on getting it from Amazon or Crutchfield?
It's all the same. Whoever has the lowest price. I always buy from Amazon because I'm an Amazon Prime member, so I get free 2-day shipping. But I've never had any trouble with either one of them.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy. I think your AV receiver is a nice way to upgrade your home theater system. It gives you more oomph for the speakers, more capability. You don't have to buy powered speakers now. You can buy higher quality unpowered speakers. It gives you more flexibility. There's some really good choices out there. And as I said, both Onkyo and Denon I've been very happy with. 8888, ask Leo. Paul in Wallace, Indiana. Hello. I'm sorry, Wallace, Michigan. Hi, Paul. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. I had a question about education. I wanted to get my foot in the door on a basic IT job, like I said, just to get my foot in the door. And I wanted to know what you thought of getting a basic 2-year IT degree from like a community college or getting a couple CompTIA certificates.
I'll tell you, going to the community college is great because it's very, very affordable. You can spend $10,000 a year going to a private school to get these certificates. So if you've got a local community college that'll give you a good education, go for it. Because really, now there's two things you're going for if you want to get an IT career. One is the actual skills. The other is a certificate. And I don't think they necessarily go together. The certificate is a measure of you being able to take a test, having read the right books, having taken the right classes. But does it mean you have actual IT skills? No. The best way to get IT skills is on the job training or classes where you have instructors who are real IT guys, and you know, you have a real network to work on, and you learn. That's a great way to learn. But to get that first job, you often want to have the CompTIA certificate or something like that. So certs are valuable for job hunting, absolutely. But you also have to have the skills. So I would start at the – you can't get the cert through the junior college?
Well, the problem is I'm 29 now, and I have a two-year degree in business administration, and I started taking some tech classes, but I never ended up finishing, and I needed to get a full-time job. So I wasn't sure which way to go, you know, kind of lumber along, you know, taking classes here and there and eventually get a two-year degree or to get the certificate.
The degree or the degree and the cert, you know, both are pieces of paper. What you really want is skills and knowledge. I'm going to steer you to a sponsor. So disclaimer there, but these guys are great. It's IT Pro TV, itpro.tv. And what they do is they have, you can sit and watch, you can have it running in the background on your Roku or whatever and learn a lot. Now, you're not going to get a cert from this, but you're going to learn the kind of stuff you need to take the cert tests. In fact, they organize their episodes by the various tests, the A+, the Net+, the Security+, or the Microsoft or Cisco certs. Those certs help you get a job. They're not the same thing as knowing what to do. They're knowing what the answers are in the test questions. I think you need both. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Are you very cranky, Web6404? Are you having a bad Christmas? Is that why you're so mean?
Sometimes seem like we've got too much
stuff. Something bothering you? Something bothering you? I really feel sorry for trolls on the holidays, because I have to figure, if somebody's trolling on the holidays, that's like there's something, like they're sad. So, you know, it's okay. It's okay. It's going to be all right. Never too early for lunch. Let me look and see what the...
There was a dilemma with the positioning of the Festivus poll. Where I thought it was really good, it was sticking out of your head in a two-shot.
Sticking out of my head is okay when it comes to a Festivus poll.
And as we moved it, it started to block the clock. And I know I can't have it block the clock.
Cannot block the clock. It is challenging. We have run out of real estate behind my head. I know. What are we going to do? No, I think this is a good choice for the Festivus poll. It's subtle.
Yeah.
A subtle Festivus poll. Okay, December 22nd, they have the proper menu up, although it is the same menu as yesterday.
Yes.
I would like a large vegetable barley soup. That sounds healthful. And health, I'm all about healthful. Lisa and I went to a Christmas party last night and danced for 2 hours straight.
Nice.
It was so fun.
Are you extra hungry now?
No, I'm. Look at me. I'm dying. I'm just like.
But you know when you like dance a lot and you're just like.
I love dancing.
Burned off calories.
Yeah, I feel
me
good about
too.
That. Yeah, I feel
it's
good
the
about
best
that.
Thing ever.
Hey, let's do something in the chat room. Let's instead of banning trolls for the next few days, let's just hug them, and say you're lonely on Christmas. I understand. It's okay. It's okay. You can be angry. You can be sad. We'll embrace you. We'll be nice to you.
We need a troll doll.
Dr. Obsidian is in my clan. We need a clan hangout to figure out a plan for the clan. All right. Let's plan for the clan. I didn't know there would be this much involved in running a clan. I love Clash of Clans. Now then there was that big New York Times article. Apparently this is like the big sleeper game. Everybody's like going crazy about it. And here, I'll show you our clan here. The clan twit. This company, Supercell, said they're making $2.5 million a day. $2.5 million a day, mostly on this game. They have some other games, but mostly on this game. But I don't, that's if you go out and buy gems. I did buy $20 worth of gems just to support Supercell, but that's it. I'm on that. I'm going to try to do this without buying any more gems. So this is our clan, Clan Twit. And it's a lovely clan. If you're not a member of Clan Twit, it's too late probably, because I think... Whoops. I keep tapping the wrong thing. Because I think we're full. Yep, we're full. 50 people in Clan Twit. Some of these people are very good. Look at the top trophy people are very good. But look who's at the bottom on the trophy list. Me. So we need a plan. Is that it, Dr. Obsidian? You have to have a plan for the clan? I don't know. Check the clan chat. All right, let's check the clan chat. Yes. Here's the clan chat. Woot, we are on air, says Great Dane. She's in Denmark. There's Dr. Obsidian. What do you think of the hangout? I think that's a good idea. Hi, Mom, says Great Dane. Hey, everybody. So this is a very interesting iPad game, because there's actually quite a bit of strategy in the attacks. Here, I think we have an attack here somewhere. I can show you a replay. Christmas without you. Ba-ba-ba-ba-da. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number if you have a question, a comment, a suggestion. You want some buying advice for the holiday season. If you just want to talk, that's what I'm here for. We could talk. 8888 Ask Leo. Also, we've got a great website, techguylabs.com. If you go to techguylabs.com, you'll see answers to all the questions, question by question, audio and video from past shows and all of that. techguylabs.com. And if you have a thought about, for instance, certs versus getting a two-year AA degree in technology, if you think one's better than the other, you have some experience in your life about how that's worked out for you, share that with Paul on our website. Just go to the techguylabs.com and comment. Your comments are very, very valuable. Much appreciated. And I want to remind you that it's free. We do not charge. We do not charge for anything we do on this show. The podcasts are free. The site is free. Thanks to our fine sponsors and your support of them. Let's move on to Jay in Providence, North Carolina. Hi, Jay. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. And speaking of shopping, I'm wondering if I'm any more secure online if I keep all other applications closed while I'm logged onto a secure website.
No. Well, in theory, I guess you could be if one of those applications was malicious. The problem is a malicious application doesn't show itself. It doesn't have a window. It doesn't say, hi, I'm running. It runs in the background invisibly. So any visible application that's running is almost certainly not a malicious application. So that's not going to do it. The key on safe online shopping is very simple. You want to use HTTPS, secure HTTP. Every site that takes a credit card, unless it's a very small site run by somebody who doesn't know any better, will do that. You know, certainly all the big known retailers will do that. But what we learned from the Target breach, 40 million credit cards stolen, their point-of-sale system was attacked. What we learned from the Target breach is it's not really so much you and the person you're interacting with during the transaction. Most often, it's their own security at the other end afterwards. If they store your credit card number, we've seen time and time again, a breach on their site can reveal it to a bad guy. That's, I think, mostly where these things happen. So if you really want to shop safely online, not a bad idea to find a credit card, and there are quite a few that do this, that allow you to use a one-time-only credit card number. You can either use it for one transaction only or for one merchant only. So, for instance, if you set up a credit card with Amazon or Target or something like that, if you use this one-time-only credit card, it can only be used by you on Amazon. That's more secure.
So if I'm on, if I have two browsers open and one is on a non-secure website at the same time, it's no problem.
No, the big problem, there is a problem with something called cross-site scripting. That would be in the same browser. But that, again, is a site that's been hacked. No, I don't think that's a particular problem. If you have a bigger risk having other tabs open, and so maybe that would be something not to do. But that's the very smallest of the risks. The biggest risk, as I said, is the merchant that stores your credit card and then gets attacked. The second biggest risk is you going to a site that looks like a real site that isn't. And one way to prevent that is to make sure you use secure transport always when you're talking to these sites. SSL, HTTPS, that's what the S is. It's secure. And then if you're worried, if you're about to give some of your credit card number information, you want to be doubly secure, check the certificate. Different browsers have different ways of doing that. And make sure that the site you're giving the credit card number to matches the site you expect it to be. Keeping in mind that some smaller merchants use third-party payer sites when you're making the transaction. So you go to a site, you'll start to buy something, and then it will take you outside to Shopify or somebody like that. But as long as it's a known name and the certificate matches the name that's on the browser and it's a secure transaction, I think there's very little to worry about. It's the after-transaction stuff that's more to be worried about. I think it's completely safe to shop online. Remember, when you go to a restaurant, you give a strange person with a minimum wage job your credit card for 5 minutes. That's far more risky. And I don't think it's particularly risky, but that's far more risky than a secure website where you're buying something from a known retailer. I mean, we do that all the time. I think because it's new, people are more worried about online shopping. I shop online all the time. The one time, and I've only once lost a credit card, and it was an Argentinian site. Not that I recommend against this. It was beautiful. I was buying a beautiful case. I think it was for my Palm Pilot. I won't name the name because I think they're a completely legitimate company. But it was an Argentinian site. They got my credit card number, and shortly thereafter, like within a day, that credit card number had been used by somebody illegally. So that's why I'm pretty sure it was that site. But I think almost always, online shopping is not the problem. The Target break-in, and we still don't know the details because Target's being very coy about all of this. The Target break-in released full credit card information, everything somebody needs to use a credit card, the number, the expiration date, and that three-digit number on the back of the card. 40 million of them, cards that were used at Target, at least according to Target, between November 27th and December 10th, 15th? So that's something used in a store. Those are the things that are the real risks, if you ask me. And it's mostly because I think that in the U.S., the merchants and the credit card companies still refuse to do chip and PIN, which would have made a big difference. In everywhere else in the world, when you use a credit card, you have to enter in. The credit card has a PIN chip in it, a computer chip in it. Doesn't make it thicker. Doesn't change the credit card. It makes it a little more expensive to make. And whenever you use it, you have to enter in a 4-digit PIN that's known only to you. That extra security means that even if the cards have been stolen, that they wouldn't have been able to use them. 8888 Ask Leo. Brett in Fort Worth, Texas. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Brett.
Hey, Leo. Got a question for you. I just got a Synology NAS.
Those are great. Synology makes great network-attached storage. It's a computer, really, but it has no screen or mouse or keyboard. It's just on your network, and every computer on the network can see it, use it for backup, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and so it also has a mail server on it, and I thought this is cool. I have my own little mail site. I went into Hover and got a domain.
Good. Good man.
So what I'm having a problem with is I'm able to receive emails, but I'm not able to send it. And I've been working with Synology's help desk. And
hang on for a second. We'll talk about running your own mail server when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you by Stamps.com, another great holiday service for people who send. I'm doing a Stamps.com. I'm doing Stamps.com ad on the radio, too. That's funny. We love Stamps.com. Stamps, if you do mailing for a business, if you send out mailers or invoices, if you are a seller on eBay or Etsy, PayPal, Amazon, if you have to do mailing, this is the worst time of year, right? Because everybody's at the post office. The post office is jammed. It's amateur week at the post office. Really, the truth is you don't need to ever go to the post office. You can use Stamps.com. It's what we do here, and we love it. Now, I got my scale here somewhere. So with Stamps.com, You are running stamps.com software on your computer, or you can use their website. And you buy and print U.S. postage from your computer with your printer. You don't need a special printer. You don't need a postage meter or special inks. You already have everything you need. You just add stamps.com. You can print right on the envelope. It'll take the addresses. For instance, let's say you're doing invoicing. Pulls the addresses right out of QuickBooks. Boom, 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 boom. Prints it right onto the envelope with your return address, your company logo, all the postage. If you want to do packages, they've got the stamps.com USB scale. You plop the package on the scale. Talks to the software. Prints out a mailing label with your logo, return address, everything. It can pull the sender's address or recipient's address from the website on eBay, Amazon, PayPal, Etsy, a bunch of sites. It'll fill out international mailing forms if you're sending internationally. In fact, a lot of our listeners are doing international mailing, especially this time of year. And stamps.com makes that so easy. You will also get discounts. The post office loves stamps.com. It reduces the load on them. In fact, it really uses the post office for what they do best, which is a mail carrier comes to your door 6 days a week, right? And goes to everybody else's door 6 days a week. So they do that most important thing. In fact, they will come pick up your packages. You never have to bring those packages to the post office, no matter how big. There's even a button on the stamps.com software that says, get the mail carrier out here. You can actually just press it and they'll come. Really magical. You even get discounts you can't get at the post office on Priority and Priority Express Mail. I think you're going to love it. So what we've done is we got a no-risk trial offer. If you go to stamps.com right now, stamps.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use my name. Actually, use the offer code TECHGUY, one word, so that they know you heard about this on the Tech Guy podcast. We've got a very nice offer, including that digital scale. You get that free. You just pay shipping and handling. The scale's yours to keep no matter what. You also get postage coupons, $55 worth to over the first few months of your account. Four-week trial, of course, of stamps.com. This is a good deal. And there's really no reason not to do it. It costs you nothing. Just the shipping and handling on that scale, but you get to keep it. Stamps.com. Click the microphone. Use the offer code TECHGUY. And then stop going to the post office.
Really? Really?
You'll be ready to use it. That's the nice thing about it. You don't need any special stuff. You'll be using it 5 minutes after you sign up. Stamps.com.
Leo.
John Slinning, ladies Happy and gentlemen.
Happy Chat Realm Day.
Happy Chat Realm Day.
December 22nd is Chat Realm Day. No. Fingers.
How do we get that?
Yeah, no thumb. Yeah.
No thumb.
Yeah. And I would refer you to the BBPD article on Chat Realm Day. So that you can look at the content.
There's an actual Wikipedia article.
BBpedia.
Which?
BBpedia.
Yeah.
Be warned.
Be warned? Should I not show this?
Well, I suspect you might, but you would probably look at it first. No, Diamond Club Day. There's a link.
Oh, this is the novel.
Yeah.
I want Diamond Club Day.
Well, there's a link right there in the 2.1. Go to that page.
Yeah. Guess you assumed a life of your own. Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. That's lovely. Jesus. Oh, Lord. I guess I can never cancel NSFW now, huh? I'm trapped.
So when do I get to fight you, Leo? When does that happen?
Feats of strength involves fighting?
Yeah, well, you have to pin the head of the household to the floor, so...
You do?
Yeah, that's how you end it.
I'm just getting too old for this world. Yeah, I am in good shape, aren't I, Dr. Mom? That's an old picture. I was young and I needed the money. I think the people who are here because of the Tech Guy show are very puzzled. They're very puzzled by what's going on right now. I know that because I'm puzzled. 94 million people are traveling right now for the holidays. The Darby Darblet. What the heck is a Darby Darblet? Ron Reagan had the model, had that body. Darby takes the, what? That sounds like a scam. I don't understand how you... yeah, the Darby Darblet, huh? I just want to go on record that I am not recommending the Darby Darblet. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. This is a place where we talk tech every weekend. 8888-ASK-LEO, the number. If you want to call in with a question, a comment, a suggestion, you don't need to be a geek to listen to the show, but beware, if you listen for very long, you'll probably become one. It does seem to have that effect. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Heather. I didn't mean to mean you. Yeah, you're kind of looking a little geeky these days with that Santa outfit on. 8888-ASK-LEO. We were talking to Brett, and Brett is on the line from Fort Worth, Texas. And he wants to set up his own mail server. Generally, I don't recommend setting up servers locally, but mostly because in order to do that, you have to allow incoming traffic to your network, and that could be risky. You know, the mail that, you know, comes and goes can be dangerous, but also it often people don't have sufficient bandwidth to do a server. Mail is one of those the few things that, at least because it's just your mail, doesn't take a whole lot of bandwidth to process. Your internet service provider, on the other hand, may have something to say about that, and I think that's what's happening to you, Brett. So you said inbound mail, no problem. Outbound mail, ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
And that's because your internet service provider doesn't want customers to become spammers. Any good internet service provider prevents outbound mail on their network.
Would they? Would, yeah. Well, I guess, you know, if I send a mail to my email with my internet service provider.
That's because it's not coming from your server. It's coming from their server. So the problem is if so, by the way, there are probably ways around this. It's almost certain that your internet service provider, most do, is blocking the traditional outbound mail port, 25 SMTP. In other words, you're not allowed to use port 25 for outbound mail, period. You probably should check your terms of service to see if you're even allowed to have a mail server on your network. Lots of internet service providers say you may not run a server, period. However, if they allow you to run a server, you probably shouldn't use a standard port. You should use the SSL or secure outbound port instead.
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing. It's
465. Okay, 465.
I'm working with the Synology help desk, and the guy that's talking or emailing me back and forth, he's answering in single sentence answers, but the last thing he said was he would suggest me changing my DNS server.
I think he's not giving you good information. Check your ISP and make sure you're allowed to do this.
Okay.
That's almost always the case. ISPs do not want you sending email from your house.
All right.
Because it would, you know, they don't want to be fostering spammers. It took us a long time to get Comcast, by the way, to do this because they were afraid of tech support calls like from people like you who wanted to run email servers. and the tech support calls, if you have millions of customers, can really add up. But eventually Comcast did start blocking port 25 because it is a bane on the internet. I mean, spam is still probably 90% of email traffic. Somebody's allowing spammers to use their mail servers. And so it's up to internet service providers at least to prevent this.
Well, one question that kind of popped in my mind, I mean, right or wrong on what he's pointing at, but I started thinking, I've got right now with Hover, I'm using the DNS that they offer.
It's not a DNS issue.
Yeah, right. But I mean, my question is, I've got that option for DNS. I've also, in my router, I have settings for DNS. And also, in my NAS, I have the ability to set up a DDNS.
Right.
What would normally be, where's the best place to have that?
So what is all DNS, you can think of DNS as a phone book. When you use a English language address for a mail server, for a web server, whatever, when you say, I want to go to yahoo.com, that's meaningless. The browser needs a number. So it does a lookup on the DNS server, just like a phone book lookup. What is yahoo.com? It's 192.168.1.1. Okay, thank you. And it goes there. So you can use a variety of different phone books. Lots of companies will let you use their DNS server. Google's is 8.8.8.8. I mean, and they offer this as a service. I've mentioned OpenDNS. Traditionally, normally, in fact, in almost every case, unless you change it, your internet service provider provides the DNS. So the process is first the machine, the browser looks on the machine, your machine, to see if you have a host file or cached addresses, because it wants to speed this process up. If you already have been to yahoo.com, it doesn't want to have to ask your ISP. If it doesn't find it in the host file or in the cache, then it will ask the ISP. If the ISP doesn't know, then it goes up the chain to the 13 root servers that are the master directories. You can use any variety of domain servers, domain name servers. It doesn't really matter.
And you can use multiple ones?
Each machine can use a different one, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So if I have to pick one of those.
You don't have
options.
To pick... Yeah, but I don't think it's the DNS. I don't know why Synology's guy told you the DNS. First thing I would check is the ISP. Have they told you that?
The Synology guy told me DNS. I haven't checked with my ISP.
No, the first thing Synology should say is check with your internet service provider.
Yeah.
Because almost certainly they're blocking it. All good ISPs do. That's why most people will use a mail server outside the home. Like your ISPs, or you go to a company that offers a mail. But Hover offers a mail server. I'm not saying you should use theirs, but and a lot of people use Gmail. And
yeah, I just like the idea of having Brett at my domain name.
Did he say reverse DNS?
No, he did not.
You can use Brett at your domain name. That's fine. That has nothing to do with anything. Hover maintains email forwarding service, so Brett at your domain name goes to the DNS servers at Hover first anyway, and then it goes to your server. What you can say is to the Hover, forward that to Gmail. Forward that to Brett underscore I never heard of him at gmail.com. And the mail will all go to Gmail, but we'll look to everybody sending it. That's how I do it.
Oh.
I don't run a mail server. If you email Leo at leoville.com, you won't go to my mail server. You actually go to Gmail. But it goes through Hover and it gets forwarded to Gmail. That's the way to do it. So if that's your goal, oh yeah, you don't run your own server.
Okay.
There's all sorts of issues running your own server.
Yeah. Okay.
As you've experienced.
It sounded even simpler than it's turning out to be.
Yeah. No, it's really simple just to tell Hover, forward my mail to Google and it's done. You're done.
Yeah.
And then use Google, and Google has all these great services like spam filtering and so forth. Might as well let them run the fancy email server.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Leo.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Most of the time, internet service providers will not let you run a mail server because they just don't want to support spammers. Spammers have to go to kind of sleazy internet service providers to forward their mail, or they run their own server, which is non-trivial. And everybody, even your internet service provider, has a service provider above them that may also have something to say about it. Peter's in Hong Kong. Hi, Peter. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, is that you, Leo?
It is. Happy holidays.
How you going, mate?
I'm well.
Yep. Hey, now, sold my Galaxy S3, and I've got a new Galaxy Note 3. And I want to transfer all my information over, and I've done it on my own, and I make quite a few mistakes.
Uh-oh. In other words, things aren't working as well as you'd hoped.
That's right. How do you do it properly?
What settings are you talking about? So there's a couple of ways to do it. Because you're within Samsung, you can create a Samsung account, which backs it up. I use a combination of my Samsung account and Google. And whenever I set up a new phone, it pretty much already knows everything. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'll talk more about this when we get back. I'm Seems to me that if you use 465, they can't block 465. Maybe they can. Maybe they can. I guess it's only, isn't 465 also used for SSL? Maybe not. Maybe not. He's from Australia, I would guess, and we'll find out when we come back. But a lot of Australians in Hong Kong. No, he's on Skype, Oz Sound. Yeah, this is the big, you know, I love the Note 3, but I got to say, as I said in my review, it's just gobbed up with Samsung Onia. Nevertheless, look at that screen. Oh, probably what I'll do is root it. I wish there were a Google edition. Yeah, so they can't block 465. So I guess they could do DPI, yeah. So I immediately stop using Samsung's launcher because they put the app folder over here, which is crazy. But I'm using probably Nova Launcher on this. Oh, that's a good idea. If your email server config could use the ISP's mail server as a smart host, that would be a great way to do it. Then he could get it. But really, when we got down to it, all he really wanted was to use his own domain name. And so the smart way to do that is to not run a mail server at all. Right? Yeah, I might give the gear another chance. I'd have to go out and buy one. I've got an Auto Awesome from my last night's party. I tried to make an Auto Awesome. I took like 6 pictures of the fire in a row. It was handheld, so the glass is kind of wobbly. Or maybe that's just the fire's reflection in the glass. It looks a little wobbly. No, the glass is wobbly too. It's funny, nothing else is moving, just the glass. His outbound mail would not work, only inbound mail. So he was able to get the mail server working with outbound mail, but not inbound mail, but not outbound mail. And really, the truth is, what he wanted was just to have his own domain name. There's no reason to run his own. So here's my suspicion about this Darby thing is, you know, there's only a certain amount of information you got. How is the Darby going to improve? It's not adding information. It's modifying the existing information. Well, I'm not sure in any case that I would like to use an inexpensive third-party box. You know, this reminds me of the Aphex Oral Exciter. I've seen a lot of things like this for years that process a signal and claim to improve it. You know, probably they're doing sharpening. And the problem is people go, oh, well, that looks better because it's sharper, but it's not better. It's just, you know, artificially sharpened. And it was just like the Aphex Oral Exciter. It's kind of magic sauce. At least it's not expensive, right? The Darblit 5000 adds intense depth and clarity to any video. Well, like, you know, if you go into Lightroom and you pop clarity, you can do that, but it's not natural. It's better because you like how it looks better, Rusty Bones, but it's not accurate. Who doesn't love Alvin and the Chipmunks, I ask you? You don't?
Kill it. What's that thing? Whack-a-mole.
You gotta admire the guy, Dave, for just kind of thinking of this. Oh, we could take a recording of people singing slowly, because this is from a day when they didn't have computer technology, and they just sped the tape up. So people had to sing like this, and then they'd speed it up. Nowadays, you can take your normal voice and speed it up, you know, change the pitch, because the computer could do that. But this is from the 50s. They had to take... sing slow... Ross... It was Ross Bagdasarian who thought this up. You got to admire that. And what other time of year do we get to hear things like the chipmunks, the barking dogs?
So they sang slow and then matched it to the instrumental
slowly.
Part.
It was, well, there's some skill involved. You have to sing just right. Well, yeah, probably what they did is they took the music, slowed it down, and sang to that. Because you have to be on key, right? You know, hey, this is ingenious. This is brain power here. Unbelievable. So we were talking with Peter in Hong Kong. Are you Australian?
Yes. Yep. Are you there, Leo?
I'm here. You're living in Hong Kong, or have you moved there?
Yeah, living in Hong Kong, but from Australia.
Yeah. So there. Like I said, what settings do you want to restore? I guess or back up. That's the question.
The whole lot, really.
The whole lot.
When I say the whole lot, I mean my contacts and. Right.
I use Google for contacts. So Google Calendar backs up your calendar. Google Contacts backs up your contacts. You're probably already using that if you're using any Android device anyway.
That's okay. What about WhatsApp's ones I've lost? I've lost all my WhatsApp's.
Apps, this is a funny...
WHAT.
Yeah, WhatsApp. I understand. I love WhatsApp. But you want to back up your WhatsApp contacts. I understand that.
I've lost them now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be restored by WhatsApp. So are you using the same phone number or no?
Yeah, same phone number, yep. Okay.
I think if you log in with the same phone number, WhatsApp should restore those contacts. That seems to be my memory of it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, it's a little bit complicated because I've handed my old phone over to my wife,
right?
And so she's sort of like got my WhatsApp now.
So she's got your WhatsApp.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
because so she's got the old phone number because WhatsApp is phone number specific, I think.
I've got.
So here's what WhatsApp says, and thanks to the chat room for sending me the link. You can actually go to WhatsApp on the old phone and back up your conversations.
Okay, good. Yeah.
And then back them up to your micro SD card. Did you pull the micro SD card out of the S3 and put it in the new Galaxy Note 3?
Yeah, I have done.
Yeah, so those conversations are backed up to that SD card. Although, if you want to put Dropbox or whatever on there, then you could move it to Dropbox. So you don't have to do it via SD card. And then when you install WhatsApp on the new phone, you can be prompted to restore your message history. And it will restore your message history. It does have to be from Android to Android.
Okay.
Yeah. And I also believe that you can restore your contact list that way. So it depends what the settings are as to who will back it up. Google will back up a lot of that stuff. In fact, something to note... when you move to a new phone in Android, if you had the checkbox in the settings that says, let Google back up my settings, you won't even have to enter in your Wi-Fi passwords. And somebody's pointed out this means that Google has pretty much every Wi-Fi password there is, because almost everybody uses Android to back up the stuff, uses Google on Android to back up the stuff. And those passwords are stored in the clear. They're not protected in any way. So they're tied to your account, but Google, in theory, could go and find every Wi-Fi password ever.
Yeah.
So I think that that's something to be aware of. Doesn't stop me. I do it because I don't want to re-enter all my Wi-Fi stuff. A lot of what your stuff is backed up by Google. Some can be backed up by Samsung, and then app-specific stuff go app by app.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds a lot easier than the way I've done it.
You can make it more complicated, can't you? You know how I know this? I upgrade phones like every 3 weeks. I have a new phone all the time because I'm always trying the newer phones. And as a result, I'm getting really good now at getting a phone set up. I can set up a phone from scratch in just about an hour, get everything downloaded, copied over. All the apps installed. One thing that is a little weird with Google is sometimes it remembers what apps you had installed and sometimes it doesn't. And I can't figure out why. Seems to be no rhyme or reason. When I got the new Note 3, it did not re-download all my apps. When I got the Moto X, it did. I don't know why. Some do and some don't. I'll figure that rule out. Maybe you know. 8888, Ask Leo. Maybe you know. It's an interesting point, though, this issue of Google probably has virtually all the Wi-Fi passwords in the world stored. There's no secrets from the Google, is there? 8888, Ask Leo. That's the number. Coming up, the great Chris Marquardt, our digital photography guy, he's going to photo bust a holiday photography myth. He's very good at that. Our website is techguylabs.com. Uncle Bix reminded me that AppBrain is a good third-party way to restore your apps. Yeah, and I've used AppBrain. AppBrain lets you have a list of installed applications on a per-phone basis. And if you want to take all the apps that are on one phone and move it to another, you can just check the boxes and they'll all be automatically installed. AppBrain is a free service I very much like. That is an Android app. It's a little harder on the iPhone. You have to back up everything and restore it. I'm going to have to go through this with my daughter. She's getting a new iPhone for Christmas. And we always have a little trust. And honey, you've got to take the old phone, hook it up to your computer, run iTunes, back up the phone, activate the new phone, restore it. It's not my favorite way to do these things. You could use iCloud to do it, but it's really slow. Did you do that, Heather, when you upgraded to your new iPhone?
Yeah. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
It wasn't hard, huh?
Loved it.
Did you do... Okay, so you did...
I must have done something wrong.
Did you do an iCloud backup or did you do a disk-based backup? You just ran iTunes, right?
Just and said threw
backup.
It into iTunes.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't do iCloud only because it takes so long. It takes like a day to download all the apps. Well, I have a lot of apps.
Oh.
But it's very easy just to do it by a computer. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, do you want to do this, Heather? And I'm like, sure.
Sure, I do. Sure. No problem. Hey, here's a tip for Note 3 owners. The Galaxy Note 3 does not support wireless charging, but you can buy, and I was very happy to, for less than $10 on Amazon, a little doohickey. This is called the Phone F-O-N-E Salesman Wireless Charger. It's a little doohickey. It's a very thin little thing that you just put over your battery, and then it does wireless charging. This is great. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's really kind of amazing. And it's so thin, you can still use the back. How does it work? So then I plug it in here. You have to make sure the contacts match. Okay, contacts are in. Now I can put the back back on. It's so thin, it doesn't take up a lot of space. So I can put the back back on. And what's amazing, what's kind of interesting, and then this is a wireless charger that I love, the Tilt Qi charger. What's kind of cool about that is the Galaxy somehow knows about wireless charging. So it actually just does it. And so now it's charging. Hey. Oh, I have to unlock it. This is fun, the watercolor unlocking. That's a Galaxy Note thing. A Galaxy thing. And then, with wireless charging, you could turn on Daydream in Android. That's kind of cool, too. So, Daydream, and this is on all of the 4.3 and later, I think. You could have Flipboard. I'm going to use Google Photos, but you've got a variety of different things. And then when it's charging, you can set up to do it when it's docked or when it's charging. But when it's charging, it will automatically do a slideshow of photos whenever it's on the wireless charger. I didn't say they'd be good photos. But this is kind of nice. So this sits on my desk and it's just kind of wirelessly charging. Yeah, yeah, watch. It still shows the picture through the little window. It doesn't shrink it now. It just shows it through the little window. Oh, actually, that might have put it to sleep. Yeah, I think you want to leave the cover open. It does support wireless charging, right, because there's contacts. But they didn't put the thing in that does the wireless charging. You're probably supposed Samsung sells it back, right? It is big. It's a big phone. Hey, Chris Marquardt.
Hello. How's it going?
Happy holidays.
To you too.
Thank you.
Festivus. I love it.
For the rest of us.
I didn't know about this.
Well, Seinfeld probably isn't big in Germany, is he?
He wasn't, but I just for the last few minutes, I rewatched that piece on YouTube.
Oh, it's funny. Hilarious. Yeah. George Costanza is awesome.
Poll? I don't have a poll here. Too bad.
Yeah. Well, we'll
put that
up
right away.
It's for the future. You're in Tannenbaum land. You have to have.
That's true. There's Tannenbaum sales places everywhere around here. Like you can't miss them. Get them at every street corner, pretty much. But we traditionally set them up on Christmas Eve.
See, this to me just looks over sharpened. That's why this is just a sharpening device. It's over sharpened. That's all.
Sharpening is horrible.
I agree. People say, "Oh, this Darby thing is so great." All it is over sharpening.
Sharpening is a dangerous weapon for both photography and for video.
This is for TV. So. Yeah, this is funny. And I'm always suspicious when it doesn't say what it's doing. Right? Oh, it just makes it look better.
You know what the problem is? TV stations already send a sharpened picture to your TV, so the TV does an additional level of sharpening, so you get double sharpening on some of those pictures.
And if you look at the sample pictures, it's horrible. It is double sharpened.
And you can typically tell at halos around dark edges and things. So you have the...
You could totally
see
it. Well, the compression is ruining it, so we're not really seeing it.
Yeah, I'm just seeing a preview
here. Showing
us. If you have like a tree at the horizon or something...
Yeah.
Or around that building, I bet there's halos.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but I like it. It looks better. Yeah, sure. Of course you do. Here he is, our photo guy, digital photography guru, Chris Marquardt, who joins us every week for a little photographic myth-busting. Happy holidays, Chris.
Happy holidays from Germany to everyone.
Chris has his German Tannenbaum, his Christmas tree, and it's decorated with the best Christmas lights ever, little brownie cameras.
Well, they're not lights. They're just glass ornaments. They're actual glass ornaments.
But don't they light up or anything? No?
Nope, they don't. They're just glass ornaments. But you can look through them. They have a little thingy that you look through, so they feel like
so cool.
Like a real thing.
I love it.
Mine's somewhere back there.
That's fine. So we're going to do some holiday myth busting today.
Yeah, well, you know, every year, every time around this time of the year, a lot of people are going to travel over Christmas. They get on airplanes, and that's when I get this question about how dangerous is the security at the airports for my camera. You know, the camera
even they say this is okay
fine,
for
right?
film that's up to ISO 1000 or something. But of course,
that's right. But
we're not using film.
We know that film suffers from too much X-ray.
Right.
The question is how do the cameras fare? How does a digital camera react to the X-ray? And the interesting thing is, and I verified this with an actual particle physicist, one of the guys who was involved in the ATLAS detector in the Large Hadron Collider. So this is pretty much a big digital camera. So they deal with a lot of radiation and digital sensors and things. So the sensor will not suffer from X-ray. It's a good thing.
Wow.
So the X-ray is pretty much photons. It's pretty much light, just a bit of a harder kind of light.
Right.
So X-ray is not gonna harm the sensor. It will expose film, though. So if you take film and it's a very sensitive film, it's ISO 3200, for example, there's a slight chance of that being damaged with an X-ray machine. More so with X-ray machines that like the big luggage goes through, not the ones at the security, but the ones that they use behind the scenes to X-ray entire suitcases. Those, I wouldn't check in film there, but still your camera will be fine in there. So X-ray does not harm your camera, which is good.
Now, you probably don't check your cameras. You carry them on.
Well, it depends on how many I take.
How could you safely check cameras?
No. I usually don't check cameras. I usually have them in my hand luggage just for that reason. Just not for the radiation reason, but for the reason of just not having it stolen. So I'd rather check a tripod. I will check other things. Sometimes I do, if I have to check a camera or something, I'm not going to put it into a big, like a Pelican case that shouts, "I have a camera inside."
exactly what I keep mine in.
or if I have a Pelican case, then I will put an old duffel bag around it or something. So I'll put this inside something that looks inconspicuous.
I carry everything in a Pelican case, like a Pelican 1650.
Yes,
that's saying, "I steal me." Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
The good thing about it is it's safe. I mean, I don't care about the baggage handlers throwing it around. That thing is hard plastic, and it's got foam inside, and it's got dividers. But you're right, it does kind of say, whatever's in here is valuable.
Right. Yeah. But another kind of radiation that might actually be a bit, just a slight little bit dangerous to your camera is what's called cosmic radiation or cosmic particles.
Now, you do get more in the plane, don't you?
You will get more up in the plane, and these particles are very fast, very energetic, and when they hit your camera sensor just in the right spot, it might actually turn one of those pixels into what's called a hot pixel or a dead pixel.
Oh.
A dead pixel is one that's... It'll kill it. That's when it's a dead pixel. It's always off. It's just black. Or a hot pixel is when it's permanently on. So you have this little red, green, or blue dot that your sensor pretty much has switched on for every photo. But again, don't worry too much about that. Every camera has hot or dead pixels, and software like Lightroom or Aperture, pretty much every image software that reads raw files will take care of those pixels. It will detect them and will just kind of do a bit of math and take them out of the picture. So
one of our listeners,
that is nothing to worry about.
Listener UK says that he'd heard that Panasonic ships all its sensors by sea to avoid getting cosmic. I guess if you've got time, might as well avoid that cosmic radiation of air travel.
No, that's what they do. That's what they do. They do not ship digital sensors, pre-production or stuff that's for production. They will not ship that over the air. And even cameras are typically shipped on a ship. Yes,
makes sense, because you don't want a camera to arrive and have some dead pixels.
Right, but again, you would typically not even notice those, right, because your software on import will take care of it. My camera, I've traveled with that camera so many times. It has several hundred hot pixels.
Wow.
Looks like a starry sky. But as soon as you import a picture into Lightroom, it goes whoop, and those pixels just disappear and nothing.
And they replace it with a pixel from next door?
That's exactly what they do. They take one of the pixels, the neighboring pixel. You know, if you have like millions of pixels on that sensor, if you replace one pixel with the one next to it, it will just not be visible to the naked
eye.
It's
there's enough resolution. Yeah, that makes sense. I know that some of my cameras actually have in the settings some sort of dead pixel mapping.
Yeah, they're depending on the manufacturer and the camera, you might be able to do something about them if they are really a problem. They are not a problem for still pictures. Sometimes you might see them in if you shoot a video, and if you have a very high ISO in the video, there is a chance that you have this one lit up pixel somewhere in the corner of a screen, and that can get a bit annoying when you pan around and it gets really visible then.
But as you point out, software, when you import your picture, software does often, like Lightroom,
still pixels
take care
still
of those.
Still photos will be taken care of by pretty much every software.
Yeah.
Moving pictures, we'll have to see what's going on there. But sometimes you can send the camera in to service for remapping. What they do is then they detect those pixels for you, and they kind of put a little artificial map over it. So they will do this permanently. So whatever is a hot pixel can be then permanently replaced with a pixel right next
to
it.
So don't even
worry. But again,
it
depends on the camera. Depends on the manufacturer.
Right.
You'd have to ask for service. If it's a real issue, but there's always ways to kind of to take care of that.
Now, we have a photo assignment, and this would probably be a good week to do it. I just saw that in the U.S. anyway, 92 million people will be traveling for the holidays. So our image that we're asking you to take this month is something illustrating the word or concept arrival. If 92 million people are traveling, there'll be 92 million arrivals. So take a picture of that, maybe.
There's a good chance to probably get a few.
I was going to go to the airport. I was going to go to the airport and just take pictures there. Some neat images.
Just having a look. Actually, there's one of an airplane so far, one of a car. There are like 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 12, 18, almost 20 pictures up there already.
Well, that's not very many. If you would like to participate, it's not a contest. It's just a chance to take pictures. You can upload. Take a picture illustrating arrival. You can be with your camera phone or with your high-end camera. Doesn't matter. Just take the best image you can. It's an excuse to go out once a week and get some images. And then upload it, tag it with the word arrival, and then upload it to our tech guy group on Flickr. Renee Silverman, our moderator, will welcome you if you're not already a member. There are 3,358 photos there, 11,000 members. Some of you are not contributing.
It's amazing.
Here's a picture of an arrival of my son. Well, that that's a good arrival. That's a big one. Oh, that's wonderful. I hope his wife knows that he posted that on the show. I should mention, when you put pictures on the Flickr group, you are, in effect, giving me permission to show them on the radio. So no one will see it. It's perfect. It works perfectly. Chris Marquardt, photo guy. You can find him at discoverthetopfloor.com. Are you doing a photo workshop for the holidays or anything?
No, I'm just relaxing. I'm doing holiday stuff.
You can also go to his website, chrismarquardt.com. And don't forget, he's got a great podcast, English language podcast, called Tips from the Top Floor. Information for everyone about how to take better pictures. Thank you, Chris. You're always an inspiration. I'm going to get out there with my camera.
Thank you.
Take care. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. Ba 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 ba. So I'm disappointed because the slideshow didn't rotate.
If you're running a small business, you can't operate it.
So I just have to do it this way, I guess.
That's why you need the world's fastest two-sided.
Thank you, Chris. Printer. Have a great Christmas.
Thank you. I'll be back. I'll be here next week. So if you want me on next Sunday.
Yes. Oh, I'm here. No, I get no time off. No.
Okay. Good.
How do we say Merry Christmas in German again?
Frohe Weihnachten.
Frohe Weihnachten. Frohe Weihnachten.
Frody,
sounds like a Jerry Lewis.
Frohe Weihnachten.
Frohe Weihnachten.
I said, how do we say it again? I guess I never knew how to say that.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all. Meli Kalikimakas, I know, but not Frohe Weihnachten.
And Feliz Navidad.
Frohe Weihnachten.
Frohe is F-R-O-H-E.
F-R-O-H-E.
W-E-I. Vi.
H-N.
N-A-C-H. W-E-I-H. N-A-C-H-T-E-N.
Okay. Spelling German words in English is really tough for me. But that's really a W-E-I-H-N-A-C-H-T-E-N.
Aww, that's Weihnachten. There you go.
There we go.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, so Frohe Weihnachten to you.
Frohe Weihnachten.
See you again next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh,
Tannenbaum. Thanks, Chris. See ya. Dee, 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 dee. Beatmaster knows. He's Swiss-German, so he knows. Aha. He spelled it out for me. Yeah, this is cool. I like the daydream feature. Because it's not, you know, because it's during charging, so it's not using up any. There's our Christmas. Lisa putting the topper on our Christmas tree. And look how clear this picture is of the coil. So to answer people's questions, no, it doesn't seem to affect anything. NFC still works. This is one of the wireless adapters that supports NFC. Doesn't seem to. It doesn't change this either. All of this stuff works. Yeah. Petaluma Gary, it's flickr.com, and then you need to join the Tech Guy group. There's our Christmas card. Frohe Weihnachten. I think the G2 is a great phone. I have the kind of little brother to it, which is the Nexus 5. This has a very high end, you know, very high power charger, like a 12 watt charger. So on its USB 3 port. So I'm sure that wireless is not as fast. But you know, I charge it overnight, so. I think my Moto X is still my favorite phone. This is I like the big screen on this. I don't like all the Samsung cruft. Forever Young by Bob Dylan is my favorite song. One of my favorite songs. You're right, Waikiki. How did you know that, Waikiki Cooper? I'm impressed. This is our Halloween photo. Happy holidays, everybody. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo is the number. Laxman is on the line from Tempe, Arizona. Hi, Laxman.
Hey, hello, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm well. Welcome.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, I got a question regarding the modem.
Okay. A modem. I haven't heard that word in a while. Modem.
DSL modem. I'm sorry.
A DSL modem. All right.
DSL modem is about 3.5 years old.
Yep.
And I had to get my own wireless router, which is also about the same. My question is it going to be worth the trouble of upgrading to a new modem from, you know, my ISP, which is Cox Communication, worth, you know, the time and then the money, I guess.
Cox is a cable company. It's a cable modem.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Wait, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's cable modem.
Yeah, okay. Yes, it may be. That's funny. A DSL modem, probably not. Because the DSL, there are newer DSL technologies, but they would have to upgrade you if they came out with, you know, if they put ADSL2 on your line, they'd have to upgrade you. Cable modems, the new technologies are all downward compatible. So often a cable company will not upgrade your cable modem when, in fact, you'd get better results. Most cable companies now are using a technique called DOCSIS 3, which is a very nice auto-configuring cable technology that has a lot of speed capability. If you are on a DOCSIS 3 switch at the cable company, then it would certainly benefit you to have a DOCSIS 3 cable modem. So
DOCSIS,
D-O-C-I-S. So the question is whether Cox has upgraded you to a DOCSIS 3 modem, whether your three-year-old cable modem is DOCSIS 3. It could be. And the other question is, do you want to continue to pay the monthly fee for renting it? Because the cable company doesn't give you a modem. They rent it to you for $5 to $7 a month. So you can go out and get a better cable modem that's more up-to-date, the Motorola Surfboard, which is one that I recommend. A lot of people use it. It's DOCSIS 3.
Mine is Surfboard.
Yeah, this would – so yours may – you know, if you can call somebody at the cable company and get an honest opinion, you can find out. You can say, hey, just – but you need somebody who's a smart rep who can help you. Hey, are we DOCSIS 3? Is my cable modem a DOCSIS 3? If it – but you can – $80 for the Motorola Surfboard 6141, you know, even if it's – that's 10 months or 11 months of rental. So even if it's just to eliminate that rental fee, you'll be up ahead by after a year. It might be worth it.
So you have to buy it on your own and then say, well, I have a new modem.
You do have to tell them. So what I would do is I'd call them and try to find a smart rep and say, hey, look, I'm interested in knowing, A, whether I have a DOCSIS 3 cable modem, and B, whether you would allow me to upgrade and which models you require, because they do have models that you have to use.
Right.
And so
wireless router I have.
Wireless router mocks next. It doesn't matter because they don't see the wireless router. They see the cable modem. You may want to update it.
Wireless router.
Yeah, you may want to update it. Yeah.
Mine is Netgear wireless N.
Yeah, that's fine. It's N. Yeah, I would. Unless you're having problems with it, I wouldn't bother upgrading that.
No, I haven't had an issue with my internet.
I'd keep the router and I'd find out if you have a late model cable modem. You know, just because you've had that for 3 years doesn't mean it's only 3 years old. Probably a subscriber had it before you. It could be 10 years old for all you know. So it'd be worth look on the, you know, model number, and then look that model number up of the surfboard you have. See if it's a late model modem. That'll tell you something. In fact, you could, if you look on the back, you could see the model number and you find out if it is a DOCSIS 3 modem. Unfortunately, you can't very often get that information from the cable company. The reps probably don't even know. But what you could get is go to the Cox website and get a list of approved modems. And just by, if nothing else, you're going to get the most recent model and you're going to eliminate the monthly rent. And that, for that, I use my own modem. I think there's no reason not to do that. But you do have to use one of the ones they recommend. But not a bad upgrade, Lexman. Thanks for your call. Alfredo, Rohnert Park, just up the road a piece. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. How you doing, Alfredo?
Oh, hi. I'm Alfredo. I have a question on I used a laptop that I've had for a couple of years. I'm running a Pentium processor on it, and I'm an engineering student, and I wanted to upgrade to probably a workstation laptop,
mm-hmm.
or probably a desktop.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really sure what would be the best option for me.
Generally, so you're going to be using Windows, obviously.
Yes.
Generally, I like, first decision you have to make is, do I want a thin and light Ultrabook? You know, do I want maximum portability or do I want maximum power? You said workstation. Sounds like you want a notebook that has all the power of a desktop.
Yeah, that would probably be preferred, just like in, it would be an investment that I would probably use for a few years, probably.
Yeah. It's not even the price, although that's certainly an issue. It's also weight, battery life, screen size. So, if it's portability you're looking for, you're going from an Ultrabook, you're going to sacrifice a little bit in terms of screen size and perhaps processor power. On the other hand, if you get a bigger notebook, your battery life goes to heck, and it's certainly not portable or not as portable. So those are the decisions you have to make. In general, I like Dell a lot, and I think you'd do fine to go to Dell and then just spec out what you wanted. Since you're doing engineering, you probably need a fast processor, an i7. You want a lot of RAM. I'd start at 8 gigabytes and maybe even go higher. Hard drive size, I'm not sure. It depends on whether you have large data files or not.
Not really. Well, the reason I was calling was because, I've been listening to the show for a while now, and I've never called as a first-time caller.
Welcome. And nice to have you. Come down and visit us. We're just a few miles down the road.
I've heard. I've been using the Pentium. I've been using a Dell, actually, the Insprung 15.
Yeah, they're very good. You want, of course, an i7. You want a core processor now. And you also want Haswell, because that's going to give you better battery life. I don't know, is a graphics processor, is that important? Do you do AutoCAD? What do you do?
I use SolidWorks a lot.
SolidWorks, yeah. So you do want, in fact, a good GPU. You're doing 3D rendering.
I was looking at the Lenovo W530.
Yeah, I don't know that one specifically. I'll have to look that up. But I think, you know, Lenovo is going to give you a very broad range of excellent choices. One thing I might encourage is an SSD, a solid-state drive. You get faster boot-up times. You get much faster load times. This is nice. $1,257, starting price. It is 6 pounds, so there you go. This is a desk, what they call a desktop replacement. But on this, it looks like you have a good choice of processors. Of course, you get the i7. You're going to want 64-bit Windows 7. Now, they come with Home. You might want to get Windows 8 Pro. I don't know why they're still selling Windows. Oh, I see. You have the choice here. Yeah, some people want... I would at least get Windows 7 Professional. And then system graphics, it's an NVIDIA Quadro graphics, very high-end designer graphics card. All this looks pretty good. Starts at 8 gigs of memory, as I mentioned. You may want to go to 16. It's really budget. It's really up to you on the budget. And I would absolutely look at an SSD drive. Do they offer that? No, it doesn't look like it does.
I think they do, but it's only one or the other, so it doesn't.
Yeah, they offer this Intel Smart Drive, the 16-gigabyte Smart Cache. It's okay; it's better than nothing, but it's not as good as a solid-state drive. This is a good choice. I like it. Yes.
Oh, okay. There's a couple of desktops that I was looking at just because they're a little bit cheaper. Some of them offer the Xeon processor rather than the i7.
Yeah, that's a true workstation or server processor.
Oh, but it's not necessary, is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not for you.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of the high-end Mac Pros are Xeons as well. That's for some serious rendering and stuff. In fact, it's not the latest version. The Xeons are not as up-to-date as the cores. Get an i7.
Oh, okay.
i7 would be a good choice for you. Hey, congratulations. Sounds like a good career ahead for you in engineering. Couldn't do better than that right now. Yeah, this is the Daydream. I really like Daydream, actually. I thought it was dumb. It's a screensaver, basically. But you can set it up so when it's charging. And on a phone like this, with a big screen like this, it's kind of fun. These are pictures from Istanbul. That's my George R. Martin impression. These are not... most of those were not taken by the... can't buy the phone. These are all from the Olympus. Daydream is on all 4.3 or later Androids. It's thinking right now. It's downloading the images. Yeah. So there's two black bag things. Scott Eves sells one. And then Annie Anako picked one on MacBreak Weekly that had a name. It's basically just RFID opaque. You know, metal mesh. So somebody asked the last iPhone that I used, it's the most recent one, the 5S. I carried it around for a couple of weeks when it came out. The last one that was my only phone, my daily driver's, probably goes back to the 4S. I did not like the 5 very much. You know, I don't recommend jailbreaking iOS. I really don't. I think it's a bad idea. Get, you know, if that's how you feel, go Android. Really, seriously. Because all jailbreaking does is let you run third-party app stores. You just, there's a checkbox on Android that lets you do that. It's just dumb. And I say that as somebody who's jailbroken many a phone. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers, the internet, smartphones, home theater, anything with a chip in it. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. If you're outside the country, in Hong Kong, for instance, as with one of our last callers, just use Skype. Won't cost you a thing. 8888-ASK-LEO. Heather Hummond, the phone ranger, is here. Have you jailbroken your new iPhone yet, Heather?
No, I did it to my old one.
Did you? You jailbroke it?
I think so, to give it to Kim.
Oh, no, you just reset it, probably.
Oh.
Jailbreaking it, So I've jailbroken many an iPhone. You know, for instance, I used to do a show up in Canada when the iPhone first came out. It wasn't available outside the U.S., and I wanted to give one to my Canadian co-host so that she could at least experience it and talk about it. In order to do that, I had to jailbreak it, hack it, so that she could use it in Canada. But in general, it's not something I recommend. For a long time, you haven't been able to jailbreak iOS 7, the newest operating system for the iPhone and the iPad. There is now a jailbreak that came out, but very controversial because... So the reason you jailbreak an iPhone, there's really one reason, is so that you can install applications that are not approved by Apple, that you can use app stores that are not Apple's app stores. You know, people who use Android kind of laugh because that's just a setting in Android. You just check a box that says, I want to use other people's apps, and they say, okay. But, you know, one of the points of the iPhone is that Apple protects you by vetting each and every app, by blocking apps that are dangerous or even controversial, that have nudity, things like that. But sometimes people say, hey, I want an iPhone, but I don't want to have to buy stuff from Apple. I want to be able to do things like, hotspot with my phone, even if my carrier doesn't approve it. Well, kind of shocking because this new iOS 7 jailbreak, traditionally with a jailbreak, you get a, you can choose any app store you want, but typically they come with an app store called Cydia, C-Y-D-I-A. That's, you know, pretty safe. And most of the apps in there aren't particularly compelling, but this new jailbreak doesn't have Cydia. It comes with a secret Chinese app store. This seems like a bad idea. This seems like a really bad idea. We don't know who these people are. I recommend you not, unless you really know what you're doing, I recommend you not jailbreak your iPhone. I think that's just a very risky thing to do. If you use an iPhone... If you want an iPhone, the reason people use the iPhone is because you're working in the Apple ecosystem, the world of Apple. Apple is, guarding you. You're in a gated community. It makes no sense to buy an iPhone if all you want to do is break out of the gated community. There's plenty of phones that let you do that. If you're buying a house in a gated community, don't tear down the gate. It just doesn't make sense. So my suggestion is not to jailbreak on an iPhone. If you'd like to hack your phone, get an Android phone. They're eminently hackable. You can mess around with that to your heart's content. You don't even need to hack it to do the same things that you want to do on an iPhone, buy stuff that's not from Apple. 8888-ASK-LEO. Let's go to Tim in Moreno Valley, California. He's next. Hi, Tim. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just had a quick question about some wireless speakers that I want to pick up because I don't want to have to wire them out in my backyard. Do you have recommended any outdoor wireless speakers?
Outdoor is a little more challenging, isn't it? Because you've got the elements.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I use Sonos wireless speakers. I find they're fantastic, but they do not do outdoor. Unless Sonos is... You know, they're adding new speakers all the time. Maybe they have added some outdoor speakers. I don't know what brands to recommend for outdoor, come to think of it. What I do when I have a party is I just put my speakers, my Sonos speakers outside. They're wireless, easy to pick up, move outside, and then I bring them in at the end.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Say again. There's Sonos. They're the best. S-O-N-O-S. S-O-N-O-S. I have not looked. I mean, Crutchfield and others do have offer outdoor speakers, and there's certainly a lot of Bluetooth. I take it back because I have tried a number of Bluetooth waterproof speakers, speakers I've taken in the shower, speakers I've dunked in the sink, and they all are small and they don't work so well. They're not what I would call great audio. But, you know, there are companies like Acoustic Research and Polk that make very, very good speakers that offer outdoor speakers, Yamaha. They're probably fine. I mean, these are probably good choices. But the Sonos, if you're willing to bring it in, the Sonos is the way to go.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say don't leave speakers outside anyway, no matter what.
Yeah.
In order to make them waterproof, they've got to seal them up. They're not just not going to sound great.
Yeah, you're going to lose some audio there, yeah.
Yeah, and since wireless is your criterion, it means you're not like putting it, you know, building it into the pool house. You don't mind moving them around. So get the Sonos. Get the Sonos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. I love those, by the way. Now, I should have warned him. They're not cheap. But you get what you pay for. These are they have a variety of them. They range from the Sonos One speakers, which are their most affordable small speakers. They're not particularly expensive. I think they're $199. Up to the Sonos Play 5, which is very, very expensive. I choke every time I buy another one, but I keep buying them because the quality is so good. So the Play 5s are $400 for one speaker, not stereo. Two speakers would be $800. The Play 3, which is a little smaller, still sounds pretty good. $300. And then these new Play Ones, which they just came out with, are $200. The reason I use Sonos is then you buy a bridge, or actually nowadays, during the holidays, they come with a bridge free. Connect that to your router. Now, the Sonos, you can put anywhere in the house. You can move them around. And you control them with, they have a Sonos remote control, but most likely you're going to put the Sonos application on your smartphone or tablet and control it that way. You can use internet radio, Pandora and Spotify and Songza, but you can also access your own music collection. There's a huge variety of audio choices on it. And the thing that they've done so well that really is magic is they are synchronized. So if you've ever done a wireless speaker system, the biggest problem with wireless speaker systems is that if you wanted to play the same music on all of them, they would, depending on their distance from the receiver and how they're connected, they don't synchronize. So it sounds very echoey, you know, even if they're a few milliseconds off from one another. I don't know what Sonos is doing. They don't use Wi-Fi. They use their own proprietary networking, and they've somehow managed to get the sync perfect. So you can have Sonos speakers in every room of the house, put them in party mode so they're all playing the same music. It doesn't echo. The house just seems like one giant music hall. Really quite amazing. I've never been able to duplicate that feat, and so for me, that's worth it. Bose makes outdoor speakers. Those would be good, too. But again, I think if you leave speakers outdoors, they're not going to be as good as speakers that are not intended to be outdoors. But you bring them out when you need them. And because of Sonos, the only wire they need is a plug. You just pick them up, unplug them, plug them in outside, and you're set. That's what I do. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number. Al in Lancaster, PA, or is it Lancaster, CA? I guess it's CA. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, this is Al. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Al. How are you?
I got a very quick question, and I know it's not going to take that long. I was trying to get I'm a football coach at LA Southwest College, along with my brother. We are videographers.
Awesome, Al. That's great. Thank you for doing that.
63 years young, and I've been doing this for 30 years.
That must be so fun to work with those kids.
Man, I love it. I love it. And I mean, even though our seasons are not the best seasons ever, but yet and still, I will be at this school forever until.
Al, hang on. We got to take a break. We'll talk some more in just a second. Leo Laporte, that's so great. The tech guy. Who Whose 4K display is Apple selling? That's interesting. So they couldn't come up with a 4K display, could they? I'm just shocked. I mean, they have to sell somebody's because if you're going to buy a Mac Pro, you got to buy a 4K display, right? I guess I have to. Do they not have an accessories page? I have two of these, the Thunderbolt 27s, but they're not 4K. There we go. That's the Sharp. $35.95. That's nice. 32 inches. Interesting that Apple could not figure out how to do it. Very interesting. So the point of this really is you probably buy that and a 27. And do this. Exactly. We haven't decided about the New Year's Eve what to do. It's going to be 24 hours. By the way, somebody keeps telling me New Zealand. John, did you know this? New Zealand is starting an hour earlier than we thought. We might have to begin this thing at 2:30 instead of 3:30. I don't have Mophie's frictionless charging dock. Let me look about it. I have used Mophie cases for a long time, and I like them. It's a good company. Let's look at what they're doing here. Is it the Outride? What is it? I saw that, Gray Maxim. Well, I think what we're going to do, you know, you can always watch it on Justin. Hey, John? Is John gone? Yeah, 3:30 a.m. PST. I think we're going to have to begin earlier. I think there's somebody in New Zealand who keeps saying that New Zealand is actually celebrating New Year at 3.
It was a conscious choice on John's part. We talked about it.
Oh, okay. But we're still doing 24 hours? Otherwise, we'd have to do 25 hours.
Starting at 4, it's still...
Yeah, because New Zealand's on summertime. I kind of like to begin in New Zealand. I'm going to get here earlier anyway. I mean, we got to be there for the first one. And why are I doing this? I don't know why I are. Why are I doing this? This is the Acropolis. Just cutting off these pictures. Yeah, I'm getting a Mac Pro if I can. We're talking to Alan Lancaster.
California.
He's a college football coach. Say again the school.
This Los Angeles Southwest College in South L.A.
And you and your brother are the coaches.
We are the videographer. He's my boss, and I'm his older brother, but he's my boss. And believe me, I love it. My question is not about football. I mean, it is, but it's a question about my iPad.
Yeah.
I have the original iPad, and I have DirecTV. I'm not plugging no TV stations or nothing, but I have NFL Sunday Ticket, which I love watching.
Yeah. Football. Well, as a coach, you got to watch that. That's your job.
Yes, but up until 2 weeks ago, I'll say 3 weeks now, they upgraded, not saying that I have the original 5.1.1 iPad software. Well, now the DirecTV people have upgraded their software to 6.0.
Curses!
I can't get my iPad to watch it anymore.
Curses!
I'm trying to figure out, is there any way around that?
Which iPad do you have? You have the very first one?
Very first one, camera, no Gigi gadgets or nothing. I love it. My brother's been with Mac since 77, so I hate it. When he first got out, you couldn't get me to get a Mac, but right now, I mean, like, you got gifts to us as far as technology and speaking to you. He's got gift to me as far as these Macs, and I wouldn't go back to Dell, nothing, anything. I mean, I just love them. They just teach you everything, and
I think an iPad is a great choice for a lot of people. So DirecTV upgraded their software, which means that they updated it in such a way that you have to have iOS 6 or later. Yeah. And that should work with the original iPad. So you've got to update your iOS.
I did. I went to the iOS software update on my iPad as we're speaking, and it says your software is up to date.
Oh dear! I'm worried that perhaps the iPad 1 does not go will not go to iOS. Let's see. The original iPad will not be eligible for the iOS 6 update. You're right. Oh. So this is Apple does this, and there's some debate whether they do this for good reason or out of greed. But what they've basically done is they've obsoleted you. So,
I'm on a fixed income, 62 years old.
I completely understand. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that iPad, is there? It's only 3 years old. No, you shouldn't have to get a new one.
He's bought everything for me. He's bought my desktop, which is Mac. My iPhone. I still have the original iPhone from
Tim Cook, are you listening? Tim Cook's a big college football fan. Tim Cook, are you listening? You hear this guy? He has an iPad 1. It's perfectly good. There's nothing wrong with it.
Nothing.
But he cannot watch his DirecTV on it because it has to be iOS 6. And you, in your infinite wisdom, have decided that iOS 6 shall not be available for the iPad original. And I think that that's criminal, frankly. And now they're going to say, well, we do that because it doesn't run well on the original iPad or something like that.
I didn't have no problems. The first date that I got it installed, the day I got my DirecTV, of course, I was an AT&T U-verse customer, but where I moved in Lancaster, they don't have AT&T or Fios in my area, so I had to go to DirecTV, which, they give it to you.
Yeah, I think it's good. Now, it is not on DirecTV. Everybody's saying, oh, blame DirecTV. No, it's not on DirecTV. Apple made DirecTV update. In fact, they're making all of the apps update. They have till, I think, a few months to update. They have to be at least compatible with iOS 7. And I guarantee you, Apple told app developers, sorry, because you have to upgrade. And this is the way Apple strong-arms you into buying new hardware. I think that's criminal. I think it's wrong, and I don't think it is for technical reasons. I think it's pure corporate greed.
And that, too. I mean, I really understand the business side of it, but, I mean, you got to look at people that really love your product, and you should think about the people that's been with you for the longevity. You should want these people to have their services and keep what they have. And if they wish to upgrade to another particular segment of your services, let them do so. But don't force nobody into having to do so.
I could see if it was 10 years or 20 years old. That's a 3-year-old tablet. 3 years, and it works fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
I have no problem. I called my fiance on the phone just now on my iPad because I was waiting for you to come back from commercial. And I just told her, I'm talking to Leo LaPorte.
All right, here's where I can't help you. I can't help the fact that Apple's jerky on this. You're jerks. This is jerky jerkiness. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can send you a new iPad, Al. So hang on the line.
What?
I'm going to send you an iPad. Would you? I'm going to put him on hold, okay? Let me make sure I can do this before I do this. Because you deserve... This is terrible. I'm going to make... You're going to be my secret Santa, okay?
Oh, God.
Hang on the line. Let me make sure I do this right. I don't want to lose, Al. Did I do this? I did it wrong. What am I going to do here?
Press the button.
He'll be fine.
Can you pick him up?
I'll grab him.
Will you grab him? All right. We're going to get your address. God. You probably won't get it in time for Christmas, but just think of it as a late Christmas present, okay, Al?
Leo, thank you. Thank you.
Al.
Oh, thank you, man.
Merry Christmas, Al.
Thank you, Leo.
You're welcome. I'm going to cry. Don't make me cry, Al. That's not nice. I got a show to do. I'm just so mad. This is wrong. Apple, you're wrong.
Thank you.
And you deserve one. You're doing good work for those kids there. I know you're working hard at those kids at LA Southwest College are getting the benefit of your coaching. And yeah, we're gonna send you. Just hang on the line, okay? And Heather's gonna pick you up and get your address, and maybe the Cougars will have a great football season this year, okay? And Apple, shame on you. That's just not right. You know, so I often ignore this stuff because you get used to it. This is the way it is in the tech world. And, you know, you got to have the latest stuff. But that's a personal story that really shows you not everybody can upgrade. You've got a perfectly good iPad, And Apple's saying, no, you want to run the latest software? No, you got to upgrade. And I don't think there's a technical reason for that. I just don't think there's a technical reason for that. I don't think that's a right. Did you get him? Were you able to get him? Okay, so I got him locked somehow. I got the pad.
Just put him on hold again.
What can I do? I got, okay.
There.
Hold. Is he on hold?
Yeah.
Okay, because the last thing I want to do is hang up on Al. You know, I have an iPad sitting here because I accidentally ordered two when the new iPad came out. So, of course, perfect use for this. And I just, Tim Cook, please, I hope you're listening. And I know they're going to say, well, for technical reasons, we got to make people upgrade. No, I don't think so. Not after three. That's too soon. 10 years, maybe. How long? Microsoft supported Windows XP for how long? It's only now in March that they're saying we can't support it anymore. There's a reasonable amount of time. It ain't 3 years. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You know, guy made me cry. I can't send you all new iPads. I'm sorry. You should be able to keep it. Yeah. If you like your iPad, you should be able to keep your iPad. And you know, this guy, you know that he's doing a great job coaching these kids. And I think it's completely fair for him, you know, to get a little something for his hard work. I wish I'd ordered 1,000 by mistake. That's right. Chatroom said, too bad you didn't order 1,000. Yeah, CNET, I'm sure, got a... well, actually, Molly doesn't work at CNET, does she? Who does Molly work for that she got a Mac Pro? Well, now, for sure, Apple's not going to send me anything. Apple's definitely not going to send me anything now. Called him out on that one, huh? Yeah, this note is Snapdragon. I learned my lesson. My Galaxy S4 was the International Unlocked Edition, which runs Exynos processors. But Samsung makes the Exynos, and people haven't been able to root it successfully. It's hard to put mods on it because they put this, you know, counter on it that says how many times you can change the firmware. And Triangle Away will not work on Exynos because Exynos, the specs aren't published or this firmware or whatever is not published. So, in other words, if you want to hack a Galaxy, get the U.S. version, the Snapdragon version, because that is well known. Oh, they blacklisted me ages ago. Are you kidding? Good. You got his address? Good. It's sitting on my... Lisa keeps saying, when are you going to bring that iPad back to Apple? Get your money back. I said, well, maybe somebody will want it. I don't know. Maybe somebody will want it. I can't remember. Is it an Air? I think it's an Air. I can't remember if it's an Air or a Retina. I think it's an Air. Anyway, it's brand new in the box, so I'm sure he'll be happy. You know what? He could trade it in if he wants to for a different one.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
I was going to say it got worse. Or better, depending on your viewpoint.
Did he start crying more? Oh.
I love you, man.
It's going to break my heart. Oh, my gosh.
He's just like, he is the greatest man. I loved him even before this, but now.
Padre, it's a KFI, 6:40 a.m. Let me send it to Padre.
Oh, KFI should use this for a promo. Look at me thinking all radio. Santa Leo.
Well, he just touched me. I mean, you know that that's a thankless job, being the coach for this small community college in L.A.
A little, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and
these are the things people do because they love
it. Yeah, he's given.
But you're
and,
right.
And somebody who gives like that deserves to get. And, you know. Yeah.
Engrave it. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to email this to you and Lisa, like CC.
No, just give it to, send it to me. I have the iPads on my dresser at home.
Okay.
I never even opened the shipping box because Lisa says, come on, we're going to take it back. So wait a minute. Let's see. It's Christmas. Somebody's going to want it.
Oh, okay.
And I kept asking my kids, don't you want an iPad? And they go, no. They don't want an iPad. They have laptops. They don't want an iPad. So, good. It's perfect. I knew there was a reason that was sitting on my dresser. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. Terry, our next caller in Lake Tahoe. Hey, Terry.
Hi.
Hi.
I am so glad that you're on iHeartRadio because I moved from Southern California and missed you, Terry.
Oh, yeah. We're on KFI, of course, in L.A., but the beauty of iHeartRadio is you can listen to us anywhere. Well, thank you. I'm glad you listened. Thank you, Terry.
Oh, you're welcome. Listen, I bought a Toshiba Excite last Christmas time for myself, and it's run perfectly until about 3 weeks ago. Every time I bring up a page, especially my Yahoo Mail, it loads the page, and then it goes blank and goes back to the top, and then it goes blank and it goes back to the top, and then it goes blank and it goes back to the top. Yeah, three times. I have to wait for it to do it three times before I start scrolling.
And then it works?
And then it works.
Wow. Wonder what that is. But it's on more than one site. It's not just Yahoo Mail. It's other sites, too.
No, it's other sites.
What are the other sites? Just out of curiosity. I'm wondering if there's...
I was on QVC a minute ago, and it did it on there.
All right.
Interestingly, I was on Gmail, and it doesn't do it there.
Yeah, I'm guessing it has something to do with JavaScript code on those websites. Those Yahoo is a good example. I'm sure QVC, too, where they have a lot of stuff going on that page behind the scenes. And it's interesting that it doesn't happen on Gmail. Now, remember, this is a tablet running Android, Google's operating system. So I'm not surprised that it works on Gmail because Google's going to make sure it does. I think there aren't too many choices on a tablet like this. One would be to kind of restart it, reset it to the beginning. I'm not sure how you do this on the Excite, but probably in the menu.
I think that there's a place that says return to original settings.
Yeah, back up your data. If you're on Google Calendar and address book and all that, you don't even have to worry about that. It'll always sync
that
stuff up.
Well, actually, I just... uninstalled Yahoo Mail while I was waiting and reinstalled it, thinking maybe that would fix it.
Oh, wait a minute. That's in the app, not in the web browser.
Yeah, in the app.
Ah, okay. And the same thing with QVC. It's not in the browser. It's a QVC app.
No, it's QVC, the browser.
That's the browser. So it's happening both in apps and in browsers.
Yes.
Yeah, I think probably the best thing to do would be to reset it, to start over.
Oh.
I know, it's a pain.
Yes.
And it may not fix, and worse, it may not fix it. You may do it and say, Leo said this, and it's still doing it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. Now, it's interesting. So it's in the app. Now, the Yahoo Mail app is a nice app. It may be, though, that it's also using JavaScript. So it may be an issue. Is there an update?
On Yahoo Mail,
an update on the Toshiba. Have you checked for updates?
I don't even know if there was one.
Yeah. So a couple of things I would do. This didn't happen before, so it's probably something that's changed. That's why I thought going back to the beginning might be a good idea. Bet you, though, I think a lot of people don't know this. I bet you've never turned that tablet off. You've never rebooted it.
Yeah, I have.
Have you?
Did.
You just did.
When I was waiting, I tried that first, and nothing happened to fix it.
So you press and hold it, and then you clicked power off or restart, and it went.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I let it go all the way off and down.
Good.
Back on.
Yeah, because we used to have to do that with computers all the time, but people with tablets forget that they're just computers.
Yes. No, I don't forget.
You know. The Toshiba is. This is a very inexpensive tablet, and they haven't updated it. I think it's still.
Yes, it was, but it's worked so.
No, and it's fine. And there's no reason you should be doing this. The other thing, and that Jeff Needles in our chat room suggesting this, he might be right. Sometimes on web pages. It's a bad practice. They put a toolbar that stays there even when you scroll the screen. And I'm wondering if that's an issue.
The toolbar's at the bottom.
Yeah, well, that could do the same thing.
Like
if they have a float...
and move and
is it
all
a,
that stuff.
Yeah, but no, I mean in the app or in the website, it might have something that floats around. It could be... just that those websites are not compatible. And that app, maybe they changed something and it's not compatible.
Oh.
I would try clearing the cache in the browser.
I did that.
Yeah, you're smart. You've done all the stuff I suggested. The only thing you haven't done is the one tough thing, which is reset the whole thing.
I mean, I do have it backed up on Click Free, so.
Okay. Boy, it seems to me that it's QVC on the web browser, Yahoo in its app. What else?
Well, I hadn't been too many other places lately. Let me see.
That's all right. You don't have to. There are also other browsers. You can download in fact, I would suggest downloading the Chrome browser for Android and using that instead of the.
You think?
Yeah. Oh, that's a.
I've been wondering about.
Yeah,
that.
It's a much better browser. It's what I use.
Really?
Yeah, in fact.
I've been Foxfy ever since learning that from you.
Wow, well, Firefox is excellent.
Firefox, rather.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Foxfy,
but try the Chrome browser.
I want to thank you for, too.
Which one?
Foxfy, so I can have the free hotspot on my Yahoo, on my Verizon phone.
I don't know anything about that. Yes, I do. Good. I'm glad you like Foxfly.
The only thing was is I had a previous phone, and I'd upgraded to the full version, and then I upgraded my phone, and now I don't. They want me to upgrade again.
Yeah. Welcome to the world.
Keep paying the $8 every time you get a new phone?
Yeah, probably. Are you kidding? You think they'd let you keep your $8?
I mean, not like that.
They do everything but pick you up by the heels and shake you till the money comes out of your pocket. Are you surprised? This is just the way of the world nowadays.
But we love it. We were in D.C. this summer, and I was so searching all over your website trying to, because I heard a lady that called you and you told her about it, but then I couldn't remember what the site was.
Right.
And so I was all over your website till I finally found it, and like I said, we went to D.C., and in D.C., they charge you a mint to use the hotel.
Oh, I know.
To use their browser.
Oh, I know. What does it cost them? They charge you $15 a day. It's ridiculous.
I think at the Hyatt, it was like 20.
You know, that's a big profit center for them. It's got to be.
So,
so Foxfy, Foxfy, may or may not, you know, Verizon, for instance, I think has disabled it or managed to do so somehow with their updates. Because the phone.
No, I'm using it
still
right
works?
Now.
Yeah, you know why? Because it's on that Excite, which hasn't been updated in a while. So that may be a reason not to update, update that, because you're on 4.2. I think you should try Chrome.
Okay.
If nothing fixes it and Chrome does it too, then it might be worth a reset. But I'm not convinced at this point a reset's going to fix it.
Okay.
After what you've told me, this sounds like it's a compatibility issue. Try Chrome. See how Chrome does. Also with Yahoo Mail. You could go to Yahoo Mail from Chrome.
I also work part-time at our local high school in the social studies department as an aide. And every day our teacher has us go to this website, Clear Politics or Fox News or something. Mm-hmm. It does it on there, too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think these are websites that are using JavaScript, which is a scripting language, and they're doing things like having floating toolbars, which are confusing the browser. Try it in Chrome. I bet you Chrome is better. And make Chrome your default browser. Unlike the iPhone and the iPad, you can say, I don't want to use your browser. I want to use my browser, and you can use Chrome, just as you did with Firefox, and see if that works. Have you updated Firefox lately?
On this?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, go into your Play Store and see if you've got updates.
That's on my desktop. Doesn't this run on the Android?
Wait a minute. I thought this was all happening on your Toshiba.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You said you're using Firefox on your desktop, but you're using the Toshiba browser on your tablet.
Yeah,
try the Chrome browser on your tablet.
I learned from you.
Yeah, Chrome browser on your tablet. I think you'll like it.
Okay.
Hey, thank you, Terry. Good to talk to you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I don't like Dolphin. I used to use Dolphin. Chrome is excellent. If it happens in Chrome, then it's something. It's not going to happen in Chrome. Almost certainly not going to happen in Chrome. I think it's because she's using that crappy old Toshiba browser in that 4.2, and it's just not up to date. Use Chrome.
Give a quick wave.
Could be
Who stopped by?
Who's here? Santa?
It's his reindeer.
Santa's reindeer is here?
I mean, hot elf.
Did you have to leave? Is that what you...
No, I was getting up to
Kim Schaffer! And her friend Greg. Todd, when did I say that?
Oh, isn't that awesome?
Yeah, and I felt like I was in the center of the technical universe.
It's amazing.
In your office.
And the Wi-Fi's not working?
No, it was working.
Oh, good.
I was just saying.
I know, you're connected, man.
Yeah.
You're connected. Before you leave, we've got 15 more minutes on the show, then come over here and we'll get a picture. I'll get somebody to come in and take a picture. You guys sit on the ball, wear the hat, do the whole thing.
Oh,
yeah. So Candlestick is going to be imploded. They're tearing it down. And I'm going to the last game tomorrow. Yeah, I'm so excited. I've spent a lot of time at Candlestick when the Giants played there. Ice cold. There's the catch. Willie Mays. You know, it's bittersweet because it's a terrible stadium. Oh, Will Clark. The Giants couldn't wait to get out of there. They used to give you buttons. If you managed to get through an entire night game at Candlestick, they'd give you a button called the Quada Candlestick. There were little icicles on it to prove that you'd earned it. And I had a hat with maybe 20 Quada Candlesticks, and I lost it. I was so bummed. Had it going all the way around. Yeah. That's fun. Last day at the stick. It's Walter O'Malley. That's right. He brought the Giants out, didn't he? Huh? Oh, he's the Dodgers, right. You're right. Who's the Giants guy? You're right. O'Malley's the Dodgers. Because I remember that Danny Kaye song.
Yes.
Remember that?
We were
Dodger fans. We were Giants fans. It was a Giants-Dodgers game.
Yeah, it was.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Last segment of the show before Christmas. Last chance. 8888, ask Leah. Are you're going home for the holidays, Heather, which is just around the corner, I think, right? Yeah, you're
right.
Dressed for it, too. You've got your little Santa sweater on.
Yeah.
Is that a sweater?
It's made of sweater material.
It's very sexy. It's a sexy Santa sweater.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Me, I'm just, sloppy.
Plain old Leo.
Sloppy Santa. So you're going home for the holidays. I'm going to just, kind of hunker down. We're going to have a little open house on Christmas Day, family and friends.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I like a quiet fire in the fireplace.
Yeah.
Yeah, be nice.
I am crashing, tumbling, falling into the arms of Christmas happily.
Yay.
I just want to stretch out and lay around and drink and eat.
You know who needs a big Christmas Day?
Who?
BlackBerry. Austin in Los Angeles. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Austin.
Hey, Leo. Got a quick question for you before you cut out of there for the holidays.
Yes, sir.
Being that BlackBerry is the only truly secure platform, what do you think the future of the company is with this new CEO?
Well, I might point out that BlackBerry, in fact, the success of BlackBerry and the reason BlackBerry is used so widely in corporate and government is because of this BlackBerry information server and its security. However, I might point out that India and several other countries, I think China too, have gone to BlackBerry and said, you need to give us the source code for the server. You need to let us in. And BlackBerry has agreed. So while I think it's more secure probably than some other systems, BlackBerry, we're talking about email in particular here. I'm not sure that it's completely secure. I mean, I think that, in fact, BlackBerry has kind of let the keys go at this point. So email, it by its very nature, is insecure. BlackBerry email would only be secure if you were sending from a BlackBerry Exchange server, BlackBerry information server, to another BIS server and not over the public internet, but directly, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not sure it's particularly secure. And I think thinking that email is a risk. Because fundamentally, email is insecure.
So do you think the company still has a future?
Not a hope in the world. Seriously. I mean, this company just lost billions of dollars in its last quarter. The sad thing about BlackBerry is they were on top of the world. My last phone before the iPhone in 2007 was a BlackBerry Curve. I had a BlackBerry pager, the 350. I loved BlackBerry. And I remember interviewing the chairman of the FCC. And he had a BlackBerry on his hip. And every member of Congress probably still has a BlackBerry. When President Obama took office, they took away his BlackBerry because it wasn't secure. BlackBerries are everywhere in government and in corporate boardrooms. But the company itself mismanaged its chances and didn't take the iPhone seriously. Thought we own corporations, we don't have to worry about it. And then, of course, what happened is people started bringing iPhones to the shop, and they just haven't been able to keep up. BlackBerry, the latest BlackBerry operating system, which was billed as the hope of the company at the beginning of last year. Remember the Q13, the Q10 and the Z10. Yes. People were saying this is it, last great hope. The Z10 flops. And it's because they're just fighting against the market of cheap Androids and expensive iPhones, and there's no room for them. Even Windows Phone, which is a strong operating system backed by a very big tech company, Microsoft, is only about 4% of the marketplace. Android less, 1% at this point. It's not going to turn around. What actually is happening, it's interesting, they tried to sell it, nobody would buy it. That's a bad sign. And now what's happening is the Chinese are making BlackBerry phones. The Canadian government, Ottawa, will not let BlackBerry sell itself to a Chinese company. But they've gotten a little sneaky end around. They're letting Foxconn make, sell, and even fulfill BlackBerry phones. The phones don't leave China. And that may keep BlackBerry alive, but that's about it. And it doesn't look like it's got much hope in the U.S.,
Gotcha.
I'm sorry.
I appreciate it. Time? No worries. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings. I feel like the Grinch here. But I just don't see it turning around. You've got two platforms that are so dominant, Apple and Android. And Android is many manufacturers, but it's really Apple, Samsung. And they just own 80% of the marketplace. It's very tough. Very tough at this point. Ben in Ontario, should I do an ad, Nathan, or are we all caught
up?
No,
you're free.
All right. Ben in Ontario, California, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Leo, thank you.
Thank you for calling, Ben. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm visiting a brother and putting some stuff that he's got on the internet to sell.
Okay.
The problem is I go to these coffee shops or whatever bright and early in the morning, 4 o'clock. And I'm on, and I can get on there, and I can put stuff on and change photos, all that stuff.
Because you own the internet in that coffee shop. There's no one sharing it with you.
Yeah, but I get to 8 or 10 o'clock, and all of a sudden it's just dead. I can't do anything. And yet I see all these people with all these smartphones and everything, and they're all on.
Oh, you think they are, and you're not.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think they're having the same bad service you are. Yeah, that's the big difference. Look around that coffee shop. When it's empty, it works. When it's not empty, it doesn't work. That's called congestion, my friend. And I'm afraid that's just the way it is. I remember on the cruise ship where you also have very limited internet. You might try a coffee shop that has better internet.
Okay.
Some of them have more bandwidth. But I remember on our cruise ship where we only had 1.5 megabit total bandwidth shared by all the passengers. If I wanted to get email, I'd have to get up in the morning at 4 a.m., just like you. And I get my email, no problem, upload photos. By 6 a.m., when everybody starts to get up, it's unusable for the rest of the day. That's the way it is. It's just congestion. I think those people who are on their phones, two possibilities. One, they've given up and they're using the phone capability instead of the Wi-Fi in the coffee shop. Or two, they're getting very slow service, but they're just sitting there. They're patient. I can't think of any reason why it would be you particularly. You particularly. David in Hollywood, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, David.
Hello, Leo. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you.
Yeah. I have a simple question. I have a situation where my main editing bay is down and getting fixed at Dell. So I'm using my old clunker in Inspiron 6400 Dell.
What are you? Do you edit with Premiere?
Yeah, I did. But that my editing bay is down, so I cannot use it. But I wanted to edit some very simple files and video files, And so I said, you know, I'm going to download a free software.
Okay, so you use Adobe Premiere, high-end stuff. Are you a professional editor? It sounds like you are.
Yeah. I'm a director. So you
downloaded the free editing software. You know, Windows, you're on a Windows machine?
Yes.
Yeah, Windows Movie Maker is actually not bad. What did you try to use?
Well, they're all AVI files.
Yeah, Windows Movie Maker would work great. You know, it's free from get.live.com.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I tried Movie Maker, but it's, you know, when you're used to this other...
You're spoiled, my friend. You're a little spoiled.
So I said, maybe I'll go on the internet and dig something better than Movie Maker. And I was doing that. And none of them work well.
How about a free trial? Can't you get a free trial of Premiere or Avid to download just to, you know, pretend?
Not on this dinosaur. I mean,
that's the problem. I see. It's a very old machine. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's why, and that's the other problem with Windows Movie Maker. You're probably still using the XP version of it. The newer versions from Live.com are so much better.
Yeah, but this is actually Vista.
Oh, it's Vista. Yeah. Yeah.
It's Vista. Yeah. But it still, you know, didn't work. But
so what have you tried? Have you tried...
I can't even remember.
How about Corel? Have you tried Video Studio Pro? Or Vegas might have a 30-day free trial, too. Oh, I know. Premiere Elements. It's $80.
Premiere Elements.
This is the baby version. You know how Photoshop has Photoshop Elements? They make a baby version because people don't want to spend hundreds of dollars. Premiere Elements is looks just like Premiere. It's kind of a stripped down Premiere. I think it's pretty good. It's $80. I would get that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to spend that much money on these simple files.
Yeah, you get what you pay for. Hey, I got to run. David, it's great to talk to you. Happy holidays, everybody. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, Heather and Nathan. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great Geek Week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.